B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block! Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
And a good Friday morning, Philadelphia. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Anthony off today, so I will be filling in all day here on the Midday Show. Connor Thomas is producing the show. He's sitting in my normal seat. So I hope everybody enjoyed their Thanksgiving. I know it was weird this year. I don't know how many people actually followed whatever kind of protocols are out there, but I know a lot of people didn't get to see the normal big gatherings or do all kinds of stuff. I know Anthony was telling me on Wednesday he wasn't doing his turkey bowl, and I'm sure a lot of people missed out on that this year. I don't know what kind of rules people follow, but I just hope everybody had a safe and happy and healthy Thanksgiving. I know I did. I had a good time yesterday at my sister-in-law's house and had way too much food, as I always do, and I hope you guys did the same. It was a good time yesterday, so I hope everybody enjoyed their Thanksgiving. And now that all the happiness is out of the way, people hate Carson Wentz. I've realized this. People absolutely hate Carson Wentz. And it starts with stuff I saw yesterday on social media, which is a dark place. I mean, social media, if you're looking for happiness, you probably should not go on social media. Every time, every once in a while, you see people tweet out the videos of dogs, right, hugging the baby. And you're like, oh, that makes me smile. And then the next tweet you see is, bleep you, you suck. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. Well, that's a nice way to start the day. You don't understand how many times I start with my morning cup of coffee, like before I come into the studio at like 7 a.m. and I just see cursing. Because I like to check what the morning show talks about, whether it's Jason today, who did a great job filling in, or if it's actually the morning show, you know, with Mark and Jamie and Bob. You know, you just see venom. And I'm like, oh, this is a good way to start my morning at 7 a.m. But hey, that's a story for another day. But yesterday, Carson Wentz put out a post wishing everybody a happy and healthy Thanksgiving. And it was him, the three dogs, his wife, and his child. And it was nice. You know, they were out in the yard having a nice family photo. Two of the dogs looked very obedient sitting down. He had to hold the other one. Nice family photo. And then you read the comments. And it's not eggs. It's actual. You see the faces of the human beings saying, you're not allowed to enjoy Thanksgiving. Go practice. You suck. That's like, oh my God. And no, it's not just, oh, I'm just joking around. No. People actually feel that way. Because football, for a lot of people, is their livelihood, right? Like, people love football. People love the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Philadelphia Eagles suck. They suck. I've been saying that for a few weeks now. People didn't want to believe me right away because there are some good players on this team that have had good games, but as a team, they have sucked. Every win has been painful, every loss has been painful, and the tie was painful. Every single week watching the Philadelphia Eagles this season, you have felt pain. You have not enjoyed any of the three wins. That win against San Francisco, I couldn't enjoy it fully. Why? Because Jim Schwartz's soft coverage at the end almost let San Francisco score a touchdown and win it. They were 30 yards, like 35 yards away from scoring a touchdown. Darius Slay had to punch the ball out of George Kittle's hand, the best tight end in the NFL, or second best, depending if you think it's him or Travis Kelce. So that first win, painful. The win against the New York Giants, painful. Yeah, did they have a nice come-from-behind win in the fourth quarter? Yeah, we were feeling good about that one. But the entire game up to that was painful. And the Dallas game, don't even get me started. What should have been an absolute blowout was painful to watch. So the three wins for the Eagles, you haven't felt joy. You felt some joy, but it wasn't 4 hours of joy. It wasn't 60 minutes of NFL time joy. No, you've hated it. And for some reason, it all comes back to the quarterback. You know, there's sides. There's people that blame the coach. There's people that blame the quarterback. There's a very small percentage of people that blame Jim Schwartz. I feel like 100% at this point should say he should be fired. I don't know if there's anybody that still defends that guy. I used to be, but I can't do it anymore. I mean, the guy's a joke. He's trying to tell you that Nate Gary is a good player. I know he's been hurt, but he tries to tell you that. So people hate Carson Wentz. You read some of the comments on his post with his family's just joined Thanksgiving Day. They're not playing, right? They're not practicing on Thanksgiving. And it's just crazy anger. Vitriol. Unreal. And then I'm driving in here today. You know, I'm like, you know, it's 50 some degrees outside. Let me drive with the windows down, enjoy myself coming in. And I'm listening to Jason. And my God, the callers. My man Lamar, I know Lamar. Lamar is a, Donovan McNabb is the best quarterback in Eagles franchise history, which I completely agree with you, Lamar. Donovan McNabb is the greatest quarterback in Philadelphia Eagles franchise history. He gets too much crap, I think, in this city. He is the best quarterback ever in Eagles franchise history, in totality. Nick Foles, biggest moment. Donovan McNabb, best player all around, quarterback-wise. But Lamar is also a, everybody else sucks. Right? And Carson has sucked this season. He hasn't sucked his entire career. I heard that call that Carson has been bad his entire career. That's not true. And you can't give me records. Quarterback records are almost like wins and losses for pitchers. Jacob deGrom won the MVP, the Cy Young 1 year, and I'm pretty sure he went below 500. His ERA was like 1.3, right? Felix Hernandez once won Cy Young in the American League. He had a sub-500 record. You can't go wins and losses unless they absolutely stink, which Carson Wentz does not absolutely stink. He has, however, stunk in the last three games and has not had a good season all year long. When I say stunk the last three games, no, he has been abysmal. And what it does is it makes it harder to defend the guy. Because here's what happened. I found myself hearing Jason and Pat defend Carson, and I go, oh, we can't really defend him at this point either. Like, this is where we're at. I can't defend Carson Wentz because I think it's crazy to try to say the kid is still playing good. You can believe that he is still a good quarterback somewhere inside his body, and whether that's here in Philadelphia or if he has to do a change of scenery, like we've seen a lot of members of the Eagles this year, Nelson Aguilar, perfect example. Guys leave Philadelphia. Guys leave this coaching staff. Guys leave this organization. Guys leave this awful personnel department. And they go on and thrive with other good players around them. Do you think Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Carson Wentz? I don't. He's having a much better season. The Raiders offense, got to give him credit. They're doing a good job this year. But I think as an overall quarterback, Carson Wentz is still a better quarterback. I don't think Nelson Aguilar is having a good season this year because he's got the great Derek Carr throwing it to him. No. I think Carson Wentz is a better quarterback. But maybe you look at everything else that's going on. Yeah, I got Doug Peterson telling me during his press conference on Wednesday that the analytics is what tells him what his offense is. You know, sometimes he likes 11 personnel. Sometimes he likes 12. Sometimes he likes 13. Well, here's the deal, Doug. You can't really run 12 personnel right now. You could with Ertz and Goddard, even though it still wasn't my favorite type of offense, but you could do it. They're two talented tight ends. I love Richard Rodgers. I think he's doing a great job. But I think Richard Rodgers is doing a good job because he's getting limited action, right? When his name is called upon, he plays his role. We also saw that pick six where Richard Rodgers completely missed a block. Now, Carson missed an open Jalen Reagor, but Richard Rodgers completely missed a block. And what happened? Carson gets hit as he throws. It's a pick six by Taki Taki. So that comes back to Richard Rodgers. So you can't run 12 personnel for a full game with Richard Rodgers as the second tight end. You can do it with Ertz and Dallas Goedert, but you don't have Ertz because he's hurt. But Doug, Mr. Analytics, is trying to tell you, oh, well, that's what depends, you know, that tells me what kind of offense I'm going to run. And I go, well, how about you run the offense that's best for your quarterback? What's best for your quarterback is clear to me right now. It's moving the pocket, getting it outside. If you watch the Seattle Seahawks, and I've made this reference a few times, I watch the Seattle Seahawks as much as I can because I think they're extremely fun to watch. I love watching Russell Wilson play. Russell Wilson, even though he's had some weeks where he's been throwing a lot of interceptions, you guys would say that Russell Wilson is a top five, top three, top two quarterback in the NFL, especially right now, right? Tom Brady looks like he's cooked at this point. But you would say that Russell Wilson, without a doubt, is a top five quarterback. You know what Pete Carroll and the Seahawks do for Russell Wilson? They move him out of the pocket all the time. They also draft DK Metcalf and have Tyler Lockett on the team, which helps.
right? We got excited over Travis Fulgham. I did too, but let's face it, he's still a sixth round pick who was still cut by three teams. DK Metcalf was a second round pick. He only fell because of injury concerns. The dude's a stud. He's an absolute stud. There's no question marks with DK Metcalf except for possible injuries. Travis Fulgham fell to the sixth round not because of bad behavior, not because of injuries. It's because he was a walk-on at Old Dominion, had a couple of good years, then goes to the NFL. He's not really known. He's not a guy from Alabama. He's not a guy from the SEC that you go crazy about. But we're treating Travis Fulgham like he's Terrell Owens after a few weeks. And he's a legit receiver, but he's not DK Metcalf, which Russell Wilson has. But if you watch the offense, Russell Wilson is always rolling. There's always misdirection. I saw one play five times for the Seahawks. Five times they just moved the direction. Sometimes he went left, sometimes he rolled right. And the wide receiver faked a jet sweep, and Russell Wilson would fake the jet sweep. So now he's got one option to his right. He's got a tight end to his right, and he's got DK Metcalf who starts on the left side of the field and streaks to the right side of the field. Russell Wilson, rolling right, has three options. Boom. He has opportunities to hit any of these guys. Carson Wentz is standing in the pocket constantly, and that comes back to Doug Peterson and his offensive scheme. And now I'm a Carson Wentz defender for saying that, hey, you know, there might be other reasons why Carson Wentz is not playing well. It's not because Carson Wentz just straight up sucks. There may be other reasons behind it. We've talked about receivers around him. We've talked about play calling. We've talked about injuries in the past. There's all kinds of reasons why Carson Wentz is having a down season. And a lot of it is Carson Wentz himself. Do I like the offense that Doug runs for him? No. But when he has an open receiver, hit the damn guy. That's all. Just hit Miles Sanders. When Miles Sanders is streaking downfield, that wasn't some crazy play. No, it was a, you know, wheel route. Miles Sanders, downfield, hit him. That's all. You hit him, it's a touchdown. But he overthrows him. So I am also here to say Carson Wentz is playing poorly. In the last 3 weeks, he has sucked. Game planning or not, he has sucked. Just like this team has sucked the entire season. So I realize that people all of a sudden just hate Carson Wentz. And I want to see why. Like, what is it about the dude that you guys just hate? And I think part of it is you have the shiny new toy in Jalen Hurts there. We've seen a few plays where the offense moves downfield, and it's only because he's running. He's throwing the ball once, right? He's throwing the ball once. He's completed one pass. You think Jalen Hurts is going to step in and win you a ball game? If you think that, hey, I can't argue with you right now. I don't think Jalen Hurts is some elite quarterback in the NFL by any means. You know, we have callers that bring up his college stats, and I go, all right, well, we got to see it translating in the NFL. Now, for us to see that, you have to give him a shot. The question is he deserving of the shot yet? I thought for the first time last week against the Cleveland Browns, in the fourth quarter, second half, that was the first time I believed that Carson Wentz needed to be benched in a game. That's the first time all season long. Because all season long, as ugly, as painful as it had been to watch, the Eagles have been in the game in the fourth quarter. And a lot of the times, Carson Wentz has stepped up in the fourth quarter. You look at his fourth quarter numbers as opposed to the other numbers in the first, second, and third quarters. Worst quarter has been the third quarter. But you look at the other numbers, the fourth quarter has been his best. So that's why I was never willing to pull him in a game where he struggled the first three quarters, because in the fourth quarter, there's something about him. It happened in the four-week stretch last year, and it's happened all season long except for the Dallas game and this past week, where in the fourth quarter, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, New York, he has put together drives. They have either won games or have come close to winning games. It's happened all season long. Last week, no, that offense, that team was dead. They weren't moving downfield. Carson wasn't going to find the magic. There wasn't going to be a magic connection with him and Boston Scott, him and Travis Fulgham, him and Richard Rodgers. That wasn't happening last week, which is why I thought last week was the first time I was ready to sit his ass during a game and bring in Jalen Hurts, and let's just see if there's any kind of spark the kid could provide. But then you hear the argument. Well, if you bring in Jalen Hurts and he plays very well, then you have a quarterback controversy. Well, you know what? If that lights a fire under Carson Wentz's ass, so be it. Because all I've heard all season long, and I agree with this sentiment to an extent, but all I've heard all season long is, well, the reason why Carson's playing bad is because he's clearly not getting the support of the organization. They had an opportunity to draft a receiver in the second round. Instead, they took his backup in Jalen Hurts. They could have drafted an offensive lineman. Instead, they took Jalen Hurts. They could have drafted somebody on defense that can help keep them in games, except they drafted Jalen Hurts. And now there's more pressure because Nick Foles won the Super Bowl. Now you're bringing in Jalen Hurts. You use a second round pick. Blah, 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 blah. I agree with that. But what I don't agree with is, does that mean Carson Wentz should just be shaking in his boots? No. Prove the organization wrong. Prove everyone wrong that your $100 million contract was worth it. You can't go, oh, they drafted Jalen Hurts. And let me say this. I know, I've heard, that Carson was a little ticked off when Jalen Hurts was drafted. All right, so if you're ticked off, prove everyone wrong. What is Aaron Rodgers doing in Green Bay? They drafted Jordan Love. Is Aaron Rodgers playing like dog crap? No, Aaron Rodgers is playing like an MVP this season. And he's proving people wrong. He's proving Green Bay wrong. And you know what Aaron Rodgers can do? After this season, he can go, there you go, two birds to Green Bay. Get me out of here. I proved you wrong. You drafted your boy in Jordan Love. You know, start him. Betrayed me. I don't want to be here anymore. And then it looks like Green Bay has egg on their face. What is Carson Wentz doing? He's almost proving the Eagles right. The way he's playing so poorly. And it's not been all his fault. I will continue to make that statement. But as I said earlier, I hear people hate Carson Wentz, but then I hear people defend Carson Wentz, and I go, I don't know, you can really do both. What I'm trying to say is there are faults of Carson's, but then there's faults around him. Front office, coaching staff, personnel, you name it. But Carson Wentz is almost proving the organization right to potentially have drafted his replacement. So if Jalen Hurts has to go into a game and he plays well, maybe that lights the fire under Carson's ass, because clearly it's not lit. Right? My in-laws had the burners under the food yesterday to keep it warm. That's not on. They haven't turned that on yet, apparently, because Carson's not, doesn't seem like he's playing drastically like he needs to save his job. So if Jalen Hurts went in last week and played well, you know what? Maybe they have to battle it out in practice for a start Monday night against the Seahawks. Or maybe Jalen Hurts goes out there to start a game and plays awful. And then you go, all right, well, that kind of didn't work, so let's put Carson back in. Didn't Don McNabb get benched at one point? Thank you. 610-632-0975. So I want to have an Eagles conversation, but I'm also going to end the segment with this question. And I'm going to get Connor Thomas's thoughts on everything, who is producing the show today, sitting in my chair. All season long, I have been in the mood of win the division. I want an extra playoff game. I want to see it happen. But I'm not there anymore. Unfortunately, I'm just not there anymore. I am now at the point of, you know what? It's probably best for your organization to get a better draft pick. It's best for your organization for changes. Whether they win the division or not, whether it's a 5-10-1 record, I don't care. Change still is needed, right? There are people that have that fear, well, if they win the division at 5-10-1, people will probably keep their jobs. No. If you finish 5-10-1, nobody's dumb enough to in that front office, or Jeffrey Lurie's not dumb enough to go, oh, well, they won the division, so I don't care about the record. No. Change will probably happen anyway. But it's a bigger, forking them if they don't make the playoffs, especially if the Washington football team wins with 5 wins, or if New York gets in with 5 or 6 wins. So we're at the point now. Well, I'm at the point now. I'm not rooting for them to lose, because I can't do that. I can't root for a loss. But I'm at the point now where I go, you know what? Every loss probably eventually benefits this team. And I wonder where the people are when it comes to that. We have a Twitter poll running on the midday account at 975 middays, the Anthony Gargano show account. And I'll get you some of the results so far. But I'm basically going to look at the Sixers, or excuse me, the Eagles, the rest of the way as if I'm watching the Sixers heading into the bubble. And I'll explain more of that coming up, 610-632-0975, because I had a very specific way of watching the Sixers in the bubble. All right? 610-632-0975. It feels weird that it's a Friday, but it is a Friday, and it is a football Friday on the Fanatic, which is driven by AAA. Wherever the open road takes you, take AAA. And the 10 o'clock hour is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. We'll open up the phone lines on the other side, 610-632-0975. Carson Wentz. Like, why do we hate the dude? Let's try to dive into Carson Wentz, because he has been awful the last 3 weeks. He has sucked this season. But there's other reasons why he has sucked this season, and I'm not making any excuses for the kid. Jalen Hurts, if the Eagles are shut out at halftime again against Seattle, he has to play. Just like I thought he had to play in the fourth quarter last week, and he didn't. But if it happens again against Seattle, he has to play. If he does play and he plays well, well, that'll be another conversation we need to have. Finally, are you almost rooting for them to lose at this point? Or do you still hope for a playoff berth for your Philadelphia Eagles with whatever record it could be? 5-10-1, I don't know. I can't see them winning another game until Dallas and Washington at the end. 610-632-0975. Jay and John, you guys hang tight. Connor will get your thoughts on the other side. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for Anthony, taking you until 2 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, the impossible has happened. The impossible has happened! Finally! Welcome back. Andrew Salchunas filling in for Anthony. Hey, the Eagles finally made a smart decision. Hey! Jason Peters will be playing right guard. And Jordan Mailata is heading back to left tackle. Let me start off by saying this. This could be an awful decision. Jason Peters could be a terrible right guard. He could be. Like, he could be awful. But let me say this. Isaac Seumalo is awful. Herbig, Pryor, all those guys, they suck. Like, they're not good. I don't know if Jason Peters is much worse of an option. This is according to John Clark, by the way. I don't know if Peters is the worst option. But you're also 3-7-1. You stink. You suck. The only reason why you're still in the playoff hunt is because your division might just be worse. But you are terrible. So what should you do in a season when you're terrible? You should give the young guys a shot. And putting Jordan Mailata at left tackle, whether Jason Peters in this conversation is irrelevant. Him playing right guard doesn't matter to me. The only reason why he's playing is because of the money he's getting paid. So Jason Peters moves to right guard. Why? Because remember, he grabbed him by the balls and got an extra $1 million. They signed him for $4 million anyway to play right guard, but he's now getting paid $5 million. So he's going to play. But the smart decision is giving the young guy in Jordan Mailata a shot to play left tackle. Why? Because Jason Peters is clearly cooked and looked like he gave up last week. Oh, wait, you know what? He did give up. Why? Because he pulled himself out of the game. Doug Peterson was literally asked about it, and Doug was like, Jason had a little, he had a little thing, so just a little injury. He didn't have an injury. You know what his injury was? Jason, you've allowed Carson to get hit like 13 times this game. You're going to sit down. So he looks cooked. You also don't know what the hell is the future at left tackle. Andre Dillard is still on this team, but Andre Dillard has been out for the year. And when he played last year, I thought he did a good job. But according to the tape, according to the Eagles personnel department, according to Doug Peterson, according to Jeff Stoutland, according to all those guys, apparently he was not good enough that Jason Peters went right back at left tackle. Now, can I believe in the words of Doug Peterson and the Eagles coaching staff? No, I can't. So maybe I am right that Andre Dillard looked good enough. But regardless, Jordan Mailata, you give the guy a shot to finish the season. And if he looks good, here's what you do. You finally say no more Jason Peters. No more. Great career. You're a Hall of Famer. You want to play next year? Find another team. We love you. Philly loves you. The bodyguard, you name it. Love what you did here. The last 3 years, you've kind of tainted your legacy, but regardless, we love what you did here. Andre Dillard is still a former first-round pick. Maybe you can ship him. You're not going to get back a first-round pick. Or maybe hold on to him, try to develop him into some sort of swing tackle if Mailata is your left tackle moving forward. Or if this blows up in your face, you give Dillard another shot to win his job back as the starting left tackle that you drafted in the first round just 2 years ago, two drafts ago. So thank you. Thank you, Eagles. Now, here's the next step. Alshon Jeffrey should not play. Why? Because clearly, ever since he's come back, Travis Fulgham, a guy you thought you discovered, has been awful. There have been some packages where Alshon Jeffrey, I don't know if he's taken away snaps for Fulgham. I don't think he has. I've seen the snap counts. Fulgham's not playing 100% of the snaps, which he should be. At this point, Travis Fulgham should play 100% of the snaps. He should be WR1 on the depth chart, and he should be on the field every single snap. Why? You should find out if he can be a wide receiver one or a good wide receiver that maybe is a wide receiver two down the road if you get a better guy. You should see if he can block on the run because maybe you need him down the road. Like, you should find out every single you should have Travis Fulgham run every route on the route tree in a game. Why? Because at this point, you're not really playing for a playoff berth. If you get in, you get in. This is when Andy McPhail can say, if you do, you do. You don't, you don't. This is the time Andy McPhail can say that comment. The Eagles should hire him to do a press conference just to say, if we do, we do. We don't, we don't. That's it. 96% of the snaps. Thank you, Connor. Last week for Travis Fulgham. He should play 100. He should. Find out if he can play 100% of the snaps. Find out if he can run every route in the route tree. Find out if he can be covered by a cornerback number one for a full game. Find all that stuff out because you suck. So use the remainder of the season to see if the young guys can play. That also means the quarterback, if Carson Wentz is shut out in the first half again, you should bring in the kid. Because if the kid comes in and shows you something, okay, now we have the conversation. If the kid comes in and is awful, you go, clearly, Hurts is not the answer. We have to fix Carson Wentz. Or you think about drafting another quarterback, which I think is not the right decision. But hey, we can have that conversation. So the Eagles are finally getting their heads out of their asses, moving Peters to right guard to give another young guy a shot. You should give some of these young linebackers a shot, as terrible as they may be. Davion Taylor has no clue what he's doing out there. Clearly, he can run. Okay. See if he can play football. And if he's not good, well, whatever. But you're still going to play Darius Slay. You're still going to play Brandon Graham. I'm not saying sit Brandon Graham and have Barnett on one side, Sweat on the other. No. You're still going to play those guys. But the areas of question, offensive line, linebacker, wide receiver, running back, it's Miles Sanders' job moving forward. But you get what I'm saying. Those position groups of question, you got to give the young guys a shot to see what the hell you have. Because this team, and I want to read a tweet for you that I got during the opening segment. Because I'm asking the question, one of the questions I'm asking today is whether or not you're almost hoping that the team loses. so that they can get a better draft pick, so that it's more of a shot in the arm of Jeffrey Lurie, where he needs to make change, whether it's with Howie, whether it's with the coaching staff, personnel department, you name it. And a guy responded, Eagles burner account responded, but we aren't fans that wish the Eagles to lose, which I agree with him. I can't actively root for the Eagles to lose. He said, this is the biggest load of crap. I would argue that we are actually more of a diehard than those that blindly follow a team hoping for a win when the team is clearly old, injured, and slow. That's the final sentence right there that is the reason why I have this conversation. A team that is, quote, clearly old, injured, and slow. Duh. They're old. You need to find youth. And you don't have it. Or maybe you do, but you're not giving the guys a shot. I'm tired of hearing Doug at the podium say, well, we still have a lot to play for. Yeah, Doug, you do still have a chance to make the playoffs. And maybe he's just saying that to try to save his job. I don't know. I don't know what Howie or Jeffrey Lurie's thoughts are on Doug Peterson's tenure moving forward. But all I know is you can't go into the rest of the season trying to throw out these older players hoping to win. You just saw it last year. You want to win. The young guys that came off the practice squad were the ones that were helping you win. So do it this year. Give Carson a jolt of energy with younger receivers. And I know they tried doing that. But you bring Alshon back right away. You brought Ertz back this season. You get what I'm saying? Like, Jason Peters was awful last week and has been awful all season long. When he first got hurt, he didn't deserve to get the left tackle job back, especially because Mailata played well. And Doug gave you a BS answer of, well, if you put Mailata on the bench, he can see things with a bigger picture. No, let him play. Let him play. Let him take reps. He'll only find out how to play in the NFL by playing it, not by lining up with somebody at practice like Brandon Graham. Come on. You're going at 100% in a game, not at practice. All right. Got a couple open lines, 610-632-0975. Connor, I guess I'm going to do a rapid fire with you here.
All right.
Are you almost hoping, not rooting, but hoping the Eagles lose more games and don't win the division so that a draft pick could be higher and so that they could finally realize that change is necessary?
Yeah, I'm not rooting for them to lose, but it would be negligent for them to win the division with the current state of this team.
Yes. Okay. All right. Good answer. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. Thanks, man.
It was good?
Yeah, it was good. It was low-key. You know how it is this year. You can't really get family together or anything. But no, it was fun.
We're going to have some Thanksgiving side topics as well, and we'll get to that at the end of this segment to start the 11 o'clock hour. Carson, why the hell do the guys hate Carson Wentz? Is it strictly because he's had a bad season, or is there more to it? Like, why do people hate Carson? Just like they hate Ben, or there are people that do hate Bryce Harper because he's not hitting 350. Like, why do people hate Carson to the point where they were in his mentions yesterday for posting a family photo that he should bleeping forget about his family and go practice?
Yeah, there's been some weird thing about him. It's some cocktail combination of, like, the injury problems and Nick Foles winning the Super Bowl and this all this. Either he's not tough or he wasn't really the guy and he couldn't have done it in 17, and that was just, like, Nick Foles brought him somewhere he couldn't have gotten him. But what you brought up that really hit me in your opening segment was about you have the shiny new toy in Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
It's almost like you're playing like The Price is Right or one of those game shows. And Carson Wentz is like, he's the new car. He's a nice new compact car.
Yeah.
And you see that. And then you have the mystery door or whatever's behind it. And that's Jalen Hurts. And you're like, that could be a trip to Jamaica, like all expenses paid.
Could be a Ferrari.
Yeah, it could be something better to you.
Yeah.
And they're looking at it, and they're just dying to see what's behind that door, and it makes the car look worse.
Okay, and we don't think about the possible impact of what it could do moving forward. It could be a mousetrap.
Yeah.
Because we have them all over the place here. You know, you never know what it could be behind that other door. All right. And finally, your initial reaction, because it just happened during the break. Mailata, the starting left tackle. What do you care about Peters playing right guard or not? Mailata at the left tackle, is that the good decision by the Philadelphia Eagles?
Absolutely. There's no world where you can look at this team and, having watched the last couple games, think that Mailata can't be a better option than Peters. And to go even a little bit further, if he performs well, Dillard doesn't get that spot back.
Yeah.
Dillard could be potentially, and you said a swing tackle. I don't know. Mailata's huge, so he can't play interior. He can't be a guard or anything, but Do you move Dillard interior?
No, listen, dude. If Mailata, if he balls out, and I'm Howie Roseman, and I think Howie has a lot of say. A lot of say.
Too much, some people would say.
Like, I know you go, oh, well, game day decision's all Doug, right? I think Howie has a lot of say, and I hate that he does. But if you're Howie Roseman, you go, yo, Doug, I'm telling you right now, Jordan Mailata is our starting left tackle. Why? Because I look like a genius. Because we took him in the 7th round. Nobody knew about this kid. I unearthed this starting left tackle. And the only reason why we took a left tackle in the 1st round 2 years ago was out of desperation. But I unearthed this gem. So Mailata is going to start at left tackle next year to save my skin.
That'd be a way to do it. That's a smart move by him. It would be a good
business decision. It would be a genius move by Howie to do that, so that when people start bashing Howie, he goes, well, did you guys draft Jordan Mailata? Or did I draft Jordan Mailata? And then you go, all right, this guy made the call, and it worked out. It would be a genius move out of Howie. All right, let's go to the phone, 610-632-0975. Let's start things off with Jay in West Philly. Jay, what's going on, man? I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm doing chums. What's going on, man?
What's up, dude?
Hey, with this Wentz guy, man, my biggest thing with him is 5 years. 5 years, and he regressing every year. Actually, last year, he wasn't that good.
Yeah, until the final 4 weeks, right? Like he
exactly, you know, against nine playoff teams.
Well, one of them
have anything to prove.
One of them was the Dallas Cowboys, which they were in first place in the division. You were competing for first place. But Jay, let me say this. I love when people go, well, it was against non-playoff teams. Well, this year, they're non-playoff teams that he's losing to, right? So I don't care about who's in front of you. As long as you play well and you win the game, playoff team or non-playoff team, I'm going to give you all the credit in the world. This year, good teams, bad teams, he's played poorly.
He's been playing poorly for the last 2 years. And his decisions, like you said, you see the breakdown. Everybody blamed Doug, like Doug dialed up interceptions.
No, you're right. You're right, Jay. And that's why I can't just come on here and defend him like crazy. Like, I was listening to Jason and Pat coming in this morning, and they were yelling at a caller. And I understand, because the guy Lamar, he's just an all-time Carson hater. He's like you. You and Lamar hate Carson. Carson could sneeze, and you're going to say, why did the man sneeze on the field? Is he not tough enough? Like, that's what you and Lamar do. Go ahead.
$130 million, no playoff victories, 5th year. This guy is overrated, man. He like Mike Mamula. He had a good senior year, shot up the senior draft, and all of a sudden he's the second round, number 2 overall pick.
Yeah, I can't go Mamula on the kid.
And you can tell by the things he do. He's hard headed. Like he said, they showed the breakdowns. The ball got to come out. He's holding on to the ball. Like, that's Doug's fault.
No, I mean, so, but let me say this, Jay, and again, I'm not making excuses for the kid, because that, no, hold on now. That play where the pick six, right? I see other breakdowns where he should have hit Jalen Reagor, but apparently Jalen Reagor did not run an actual route on the route tree. So maybe Carson's thinking, why the hell isn't, where's this guy going? But to your point, Jay, he should have thrown the ball anyway, because you're exactly. Getting picked off. You're getting hit constantly. You got an open receiver. Just throw him the damn ball.
Look, he said that's
all.
When he played best is when breaking down plays. So if that was a broken down play, get the ball out. Let it go. He's sitting there, no, he can't take the safety, and he's still holding on to the ball.
Yeah, that was bad, and that's why the guy the last 3 weeks has been abysmal. This season he has stunk, but the last 3 weeks especially, he's been terrible. And, Jay, I'm glad you enjoy your Thanksgiving, man. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I mean, I can't defend the kid. I would be, if I came on here to actively defend Carson Wentz, I would want you, Connor, to come in here, put me in a straitjacket, and put me in another room. Because at this point, you are crazy to really defend the kid. I can say, all right, I don't like the play calling. Right? Like, there are things to say. Like, Doug Peterson, for multiple press conferences now, has said, it's crazy, I can do a better job getting him outside the pocket because I know he plays better outside the pocket. And then last week they had one design rollout. That is stupidity. That is moronic on Doug's part. That's not Carson's fault. Carson's got to run the play that's called, right? But to on Carson's side, the play that is called, if you got the open receiver, to Jay's point, $130 million man, you got to hit him. He missed open receivers last week. He's missed open receivers all season long. And it's just been, it's been crazy. Like, at this point, I can't say anyone's wrong, right?
No, you're absolutely right.
Like, everyone
deserves fault for this.
At this point, what I'm trying to say is, at this point, if people are to say Carson stinks, right?
Yeah.
He has stunk this year. I don't think overall he stinks. Like, I hear the regression point being made every single day, right? I live this life, right? I hear the same points, same callers, different callers, you name it. He's regressed. Yeah, maybe he has. You look at his numbers, he's regressed. You look at his inability to hit open receivers in the pocket, yeah, he's regressed. Do I think maybe sometimes he's skittish still sometimes? In the beginning of the year, every single screen pass that I saw him throw, he was falling backwards. Why? Because I think he was afraid that somebody was going to roll over his legs because he's already dealt with the ACL, which then turned to the back injury, which then turned to the concussion. And at this point, if you're Doug Peterson, and if you're Doug Peterson, you have any doubts about Carson, you should just let him loose. You should. Because if he's better outside the pocket, maybe you get proven wrong, and maybe that's what Doug doesn't like, is being proven wrong. I don't know. But maybe you should just let him loose. Maybe you shouldn't protect the kid. Because I think they kept him in the pocket a lot in 2018 following the torn ACL. Numbers-wise, he had a good season in 2018. Using your eyes like what I do, he didn't have a bad season, but he had an average season. You look at the numbers, he had a good year. But I don't want to just go numbers, which is what a lot of people do. A lot of people use numbers that he's having a bad year this year, but we'll say he's been bad for 3 years. But numbers-wise, in 2018, which is where some people are hypocritical, 2018, he had a good year numbers-wise. But if you use your eyes, this year I'm using my eyes, not having a good year. 2018 was below average. Or average. But I think they kept him in the pocket a lot to protect his knee, to eventually protect his back. It didn't work. That's not the style of quarterback that he is.
No, and God forbid, like, let's say he rolls out and he gets smoked and you get another injury. You never want to see your quarterback hurt. But that's why you go and get a guy in the second round. Like, what are you doing that you're still protecting your quarterback? If you trust your second round, there's two options.
Yeah.
Either you trust Jalen Hurts or you don't. If you don't, you shouldn't have drafted him in the second round. If you do, which we're assuming because they did, in fact, draft him in the second round, let Carson loose. Because if he does get hurt, you drafted a backup plan with a high premium. Use him.
Yeah, you clearly had doubts when it came to Carson. You clearly did. John, I apologize. Chris in Jenkintown, you guys hang tight. 610-632-0975. The Jason Peters news kind of got me going for about 10-15 minutes before I took a call. So you guys hang tight. We got open lines. Calls all day. There's no guests today. There's no press conferences today. So there are calls all day. 610-632-0975. On the other side, I'm going to open up the first of the few Thanksgiving Day, post-Thanksgiving Day topics that we have. I'm going to open some up throughout the show, but I'll open up the first one coming up on the other side. And here's another problem with Doug Peterson before I go. Ineptitude in these press conferences. The guy can't handle a Carson Wentz question, and I appreciate Brandon Lee Gowton for pointing this out of Bleeding Green Nation. 4 days ago, Doug said that Jason Peters is the starting left tackle moving forward. Didn't say conversation that needs to be had, blah, blah, blah. No, he said Jason Peters is the starting left tackle moving forward. That was 4 days ago. What the hell happened, dude? I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for Anthony, taking you till 2 right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for Anthony. My man taking the day off. I don't blame him. Hope he had a good Thanksgiving with the kids. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving, no matter how you celebrated it. 11 a.m. hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. I opened the show talking about trying to figure out why just people hate Carson Wentz, because it's gotten to the point where it's like, it's actual hatred. When I see the man post on Thanksgiving Day, Happy Thanksgiving, and the photo of his wife, the kid, and three dogs, and I see people responding, not eggs, on Instagram. Actually, you saw the person's face. This man, there was one man that had a photo of him and his family. It looked like a nice family photo. Bleep your Thanksgiving. Go practice. You shouldn't be hanging out with your family. I'm like, what? I'm like, what the hell is going on? I mean, it's gotten to the point where people hate the guy. And I get that football is our lives here in Philadelphia. I get that the Eagles are our lives. That's why I love the Eagles. That's why I love football in this town. Because people love it. But come on, you can't go bleep your family.
Oh, it's just wild. And it'd be different if he was like a Baker Mayfield, where if he stunk and you see him on like 14 commercials at a game, like he'd be like, quit doing all the commercials. He doesn't do anything. No. You never see him out doing anything. All he ever does is charity football.
Yeah.
And he still gets ripped.
I mean, bleep your family. I mean, that daughter's not even a year old. Or I don't know how old the daughter is. Like, oh my God, you're going to bleep your family? Like, let the man enjoy his Thanksgiving Day. He'll be playing football on Monday. Don't worry. Whether it's good or bad, he'll be playing. So I was trying to figure out why people hate the guy to the point where it's now on a personal level. I also was trying to figure out whether or not, when it comes to the Eagles, are you almost rooting? Not rooting, because nobody roots for them to lose. But are you almost hoping that they lose games from here on out so that they can get a better draft pick? Right? I was trying to figure that out. And I know nobody's rooting against them, but maybe people are saying, all right, I want them to lose. It'll be what's best for the team. They're going to get a better draft pick. And hopefully the team realizes, at least Jeffrey Lurie realizes, that it's time to move on from some guys in this front office, personnel department, coaching staff. So I have a poll up, and the poll of the day is brought to you by Marvin E. Cairns Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvin E. Cairns Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinEcairns.com today. On at 975 middays, the question: the Eagles are no longer in first place and now actually have to win games to win the division. I got that idea from my father-in-law yesterday. He goes, as soon as Washington won, he goes, well, party's over. Eagles actually have to win the division. Because for a while, they were losing, but they were still in first place. So are you still hoping for a playoff berth, or are you ready for them to lose to get a better draft pick and maybe a shakeup in the front office / coaching staff? 81% say lose. Change is needed. Just 19% say win. I want playoffs. Here's how I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it just like I would be watching the Sixers heading into the bubble. I hope they win. I wasn't rooting for the Sixers to lose. I love the Sixers. I absolutely love them. But I knew the second they got swept, Brett Brown was out of here. And my God, was I ready for that too. So is that a fair way to look at it? Like, I don't want the Eagles to lose, but hey, if that means Schwartz is gone, if that means they actually get an offensive coordinator in here to help Doug out, that means these older players are gone. You're almost rebuilding. Probably a good secondary trophy there. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a little different because, like, with the Sixers situation, we knew Brett was gone. They're not going to move on from Doug.
Not if they won.
Well, yeah, but I mean, once that sweep happened, like, we could watch the Eagles, let's say they lose in week 16 or 17, division's out of the picture.
Yeah.
Doug's still going to be here next year.
I don't know. I think he will be, but it's, I think it starts higher.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, Jeffrey Lurie loves Howie. I don't know.
But, I mean, for me, the biggest thing is the draft position. Like, you're going to lose about 10 picks worth of position. I know.
But
do you trust
them? That's the problem.
Right. But you can't use do you trust them for justification for picking 10 picks worse. They're going to be worse at 20 than they are at 10.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. And that's kind of where I'm at this point now. So we got one open line, 610-632-0975. And the big news of the day is, according to John Clark, the Eagles are moving Jason Peters to right guard. They tried giving some sort of an excuse. Apparently, he re-aggravated his turf toe injury, which is why he left the game. No, he pulled himself out of the game, or they pulled him because Carson got hit 15 times because of him. And they're also moving him to right guard because of the turf toe. It's easier to play right guard as opposed to jumping back to block at left tackle because of the turf toe. It's all BS. It's all just a way to try to paint the picture a different way. No. They're giving the young kid a shot, Jordan Mailata. That is the first good decision the Eagles have made this season. First good decision. Even go back to the draft. Screw that up. So, Mailata at left tackle. Peters at right guard. It's now time to do this with other young players. Alshon should not play at all. Just give all these young receivers a shot. I'm sure once Hightower's back after the COVID stuff, maybe you see less Alshon, even less Alshon. But we'll find out. 610-632-0975. We'll open up the Thanksgiving side topic in a second. I actually just tweeted it out. If you guys want to check it out, at asalchunas975. I'll read some answers from there as well. But let's start things off with John Hazleton. John, you're on the Fanatic. What's going on, man? I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
You too, Chunas. It's been 3 weeks I've been listening to your show, you and Cuz, and I couldn't call. I was at work, but I got to get this off my chest already. I cannot take it anymore listening to these Eagle fans. Do they have eyes? Did they see in the Super Bowl year Carson Wentz was going to be the MVP of the league and then say, oh, he's regressing, Who's regressing? Doug Peterson sucks as a coach. It was all his other coaches that got the Eagles the wins. Ever since then, when Reich left, DeFilippo left, the Eagles have been going down, down, down. Now, here's a little something, Chunas. Mm-hmm. Maybe Howie Klentik could pull off a miracle because everybody loves Howie so much. Get rid of Carson.
I don't think people love Howie anymore.
Well,
I really don't think so.
Well, I don't know. Get rid of Carson Wentz. Do him a favor. Get him away from frickin' Peterson because he sucks. Trade him to a guy that knows something. Trade him to Indy because Philip Rivers ain't going to be there anymore. Trade him to New England. They need a quarterback. Or John Gruden ain't too thrilled with Derek Carr out there in Las Vegas. Trade him to a coach that knows offense.
Maybe how about Chicago? He replaces Foles. And then we got the circle of life. Well, Wentz replaces Foles.
There you go. Trubisky already replaced him. And this hurts. I am so sick of hearing this. Do people forget? He was benched in Alabama.
Yeah,
he had to go elsewhere.
He had to leave. Yep.
Yes, because the coach said, this guy ain't good. So all you Eagle fans could have Jalen Hurts, and then all you'll do is bitch and moan after you see how pathetic he is as a quarterback. And one more thing, Chunas, because I don't want to get off the Phillies here, or I want to get on the Phillies. Mr. Moneybags Middleton, the so-called billionaire, like the guy that's leaving the White House is a so-called billionaire, he spent all of these millions on them idiots, McPhail and Klentik, for loser players that they got. Guess what, Chunas? Sad thing is, I don't want to ruin your weekend, but the Phillies are going to finish in dead last place.
Oh, thanks for ruining my weekend. John, have a great one. I appreciate
it. Thanks for the positivity.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin your weekend, but the Phillies, your favorite team, are going to finish in last place. No, he's probably not wrong. I mean, you know Cohen's going to bring in talent for the Mets. They're still the Mets. They're still going to lose, but they'll probably be better than the Phillies. Braves bring in Charlie Morton. That entire rotation is better than the Phillies rotation. Yeah, I mean, it's not a Phillies day, but...
Do we have to ruin the summer of 2021 on the day after Thanksgiving? Come on.
Oh, it's been ruined. It's been, the second John Middleton spoke after the season and sort of led you to believe that Real Muto wasn't coming back, the summer was ruined. Unless they make a splash for like a Lindor. I don't know how they're going to do that. Their farm system is awful.
Yeah, don't hold your
breath.
You
know what I mean? What are the Phillies going to do? They suck, and that's all. So, thanks for the call, John. Carson has regressed, though. Like, I don't want to let that one go by. Carson has regressed. John said that Carson hasn't regressed. It's because Doug sucks. I don't think Doug is a good play caller. Right? I agree with John. But Carson has missed wide open receivers. I didn't see him missing receivers in 2017. Game plan or not, if the guy's open and you're throwing it to him and you're throwing it all over the place behind guys, that's regression.
Yeah, I mean, something that came across a lot of people's Twitter timelines this week, I think it's the three-year anniversary, that play against the Bears during their 2017 run.
Yeah, yeah.
There was the screen the one way. And you brought up earlier how every screen he's thrown this year has been off the back foot.
Yep.
Could you imagine the quarterback we're seeing right now doing just like a blindsided backside spin move and then running for like a 10-yard first down?
Yeah.
It's just not in him anymore.
No, it's not. And I've seen it on the – and I hate it. Doug calls these bubble screens constantly, the flash passes constantly. He loves, and it worked really well a few years ago, the play action tight end screen. And I love the play too because my best man, Jimmy, that's his favorite play in football. He runs it in Madden, you name it. You know, he faked the handoff, the guy's pretending to block, he then bounces outside, play action, tight end screen. And it really worked well with Dallas Goedert in 2018. It worked well with Brent Celek in 17. They wouldn't run it with Ertz, right? They run it with the other guy because they have the blocking tight end out there to make it look like it was a run package. It's not working this year. Because here's the problem with Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson has not changed his offense. It's been 3 years of the same crap. 3 years of the same designs, and teams know what's coming. Players have spoken about it. They know what's coming. That's awful. That's terrible. But when it comes to Carson, if the play is there, you got to execute it. When the screen is there, I know Boston Scott's 5'4" or whatever. You can't throw it to a guy who's 6'5" or thinking he's 6'5". There was a Greg Ward wide receiver screen last week where he got 6 yards. Greg Ward had to jump out of his shoes to catch it. If he doesn't have to jump, you put it in the right spot. Maybe, just maybe, he breaks one for 20 yards or 30 yards and not six. Everybody deserves blame. Everybody. Chris in Jenkintown. Chris, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, Shunas, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Chris? Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah, you too.
Happy Thanksgiving. Listen, somebody called last week and talked to the Cuz, and they were saying, I waited so long and I'm so frustrated. Here I called up, but now I don't even know what to say now. And I thought that was so funny. The Cuz was laughing like heck. But anyway, I think, Shunas, I think it was set in stone when the draft, when the Eagles, the night of the draft, when they drafted a quarterback. And so, did this team not need wide receivers?
No, they did.
I know there's a myriad of problems they have. But first of all, the handcuff.
That myriad of problems was multiple positions. They could have drafted a linebacker. They could have drafted a cornerback. They could have drafted a wide receiver. They had all kinds of positions of need.
Well, let me just point out that I think Mims, who was sitting there in their lap.
Yep.
And they went for Hurts, and right, and then the Jets took him. This, let me tell you, this guy's the real deal, Mims.
Yeah, the only problem is, and I hate it, but remember, he was apparently afraid of coming to Philadelphia. And I don't know, dude, I think that's ridiculous, but I don't know how much that goes into account, right? I'm not in a war room, but if they go,
okay,
wow, this guy is publicly saying he doesn't want to come to Philadelphia because he's afraid. Maybe we shouldn't take this kid. Maybe he doesn't have the stones to play here because maybe he's lacking them, Denzel Mims.
Well, let me ask you a question, Judas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't you think, now, Carson's definitely regressed, absolutely.
Yes.
But he's got an offensive line that's not much better than an offensive line of a high school.
No, right? nine different starting offensive lines this year for the Eagles. That's awful.
And he's majorly handcuffed by what John said, the last caller, saying that Peterson sucks.
Yes.
I'm glad people keep saying that. I mean, as a play caller, I'm not saying he's a bad overall coach, okay? But his play calling is horrible. And you have to have a body and a mind of stone if you weren't affected by it. You know, and I think that's what's going on.
Yeah.
I could tell you six guys, wide receivers now. If they got rid of them, you wouldn't miss a beat. They don't help you one bit. I don't know what you'll get for them, but I can name them if you want.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, what does Alshon do for you anymore?
He's gone.
You know,
Jackson.
Deshaun Jackson. I mean, that may be one of the worst contracts that Howie Rosen's ever done. And you can't.
There's a million of them.
Yeah,
big, a white side.
Yeah, I mean that's here's the problem. That's a draft pick, and I appreciate the call, Chris. That was a second round pick. You know, John Hightower, right? John Hightower's got elite speed. Elite speed. We've seen it. He has blown past the top of the defense multiple times this year. Whether Carson's not hit him, whether he's dropped it, because he's dropped a few touchdowns this year, John Hightower. But we like to blame Carson right away. John Hightower's dropped a few touchdown passes. The problem is, every other route you see John Hightower run, not good. Two interceptions this season. Two, because we love to point out the amount of interceptions Carson Wentz has thrown. Two interceptions this year. John Hightower was supposed to do a little bootleg, right? He was supposed to come back, and it got picked off because John Hightower, instead of coming back for the ball, sat, right? He turned and sat. And what does the corner do? Corner jumps the route. Two times Carson Wentz has been picked off because of John Hightower's inability to come for the ball and fight for it. Now, I think he'll learn from that. He is a rookie. He's a fifth-round pick. You draft him in the fifth round, a guy you got elite speed out of the fifth round. That's a good draft pick. But right now, he's a one-trick pony. Alshon Jeffrey's cooked. Deshaun Jackson clearly cooked. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside just stinks. Jalen Reagor's not Justin Jefferson, and that will always be held over his head. And I like Jalen Reagor. But they didn't help Carson out. Denzel Mims, second round. There's a couple other receivers in the second round that they could have taken. Van Jefferson scored his first touchdown the other day. You needed another running back. You could have taken J.K. Dobbins. I understand why you don't take Dobbins, because why would you take 2 years in a row a running back in the second round? Okay, fine. But then another guy I wanted Christian Fulton so bad. I know he's been banged up a little bit this year for Tennessee, but I wanted Christian Fulton at LSU. Why? Oh, he played at LSU, a good college, SEC. Pretty much a smart draft pick if you take anyone out of the SEC. And I don't like, I've been on this for years now. I don't think Avante Maddox is a good outside corner. I'm being proven right this year. Jalen Mills, I liked him. He has been, whether you want to agree with it or not, one of your better corners in the past 10 years. He hasn't played 10 years, but you get what I'm saying. Over the past 10 years, Eagles cornerbacks have been pretty bad. But that shouldn't be the bar. Like, it shouldn't be, hey, Jalen Mills has been the best over the last 10 years. No, maybe that means the rest of the guys have just been so bad that he's a little bit of a breath of fresh air. Darius Slay, you can see the difference between Darius Slay and Jalen Mills, right? You go, wow, Darius Slay is locking down every number one receiver they're facing this year. Double move, Mills gets beat every single time. You still needed a cornerback. But you fall in love with Avante Maddox. You fall in love with Cravon LeBlanc because they do a few things in spurts, but they can't play a full game. Avante Maddox has been exposed this year, playing a full game as the outside number two corner. He's been exposed. You could have drafted a corner in the second round. Could have drafted a linebacker. I wasn't really a fan. Who was the kid? Jeremy Chin. I didn't like him coming out of college. But as soon as I saw Belichick draft him, I go, oh, so he must be good. But the Eagles took Jalen Hurts. And how did that help Carson? Did it help Carson at all?
Yeah,
Jalen Hurts?
Helps him get reps in a wide receiver.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Just take him off the field. All right, we're going to get to a bunch of calls. 610-632-0975. I hope everybody's enjoying their day after Thanksgiving. I don't know how many people are off. I don't know if people are working. I'm here at work, but I know a lot of people are off. So I hope you guys are enjoying your day after Thanksgiving. I hope you're enjoying the leftovers, right? Every single year, Connor, I'll take you into the life of Andrew Salchunas. Over a decade ago, more than over a decade ago, probably 15 years ago, I wanted to go to culinary arts school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I loved cooking as a kid. I loved baking as a kid. Like, I was loved it.
You know you have to heat stuff up if you're going to be a cook.
Yeah, I know. I know. Something happened to me. I don't know. I think it was just going to college, and that kind of changed my perspective on eating foods cold and delicious. Like, I can't wait to eat my leftover turkey stuff. I didn't bring it to work. I should have. I'm an idiot. But probably 15 years ago, I wanted to go to culinary arts school. I didn't. Probably made the better career choice. But I've been baking the same pumpkin pie chocolate chip cheesecake for Thanksgiving for 15 years now. To the point I know, like, I don't need to look at the book anymore. Like, I know what I'm doing. I make it for Thanksgiving and Christmas every year. And it's 5-star review from the family every year. And every year, the day after, I eat it for breakfast. So I eat cheesecake for breakfast today.
That's a great start to the day, right?
Oh, my God, amazing. It's all downhill from there. And I'm seeing my parents today for the first time in like 2 months. They're still, sorry, Mom and Dad, I love you. You're still a notch below the cheesecake. You are. You always will be. The cheesecake's, it's delicious, and it's once a year. I eat it, you know, day after Thanksgiving. I eat it the day after Christmas, too, for breakfast. Just, it has to happen. It's delicious. But, as a side note, Thanksgiving, well, I have a few of these kind of fun topics that I want to open up. And I'll get Connor's thoughts on the other side, yours as well, 610-632-0975. When it comes to the Thanksgiving Day table, there are so many kinds of foods. And a lot of them are traditional, right? So aside from the turkey, what is the most necessary thing on the dinner table? It's not your favorite, but what is the most necessary thing? And I almost want to take stuffing off because stuffing is, it's got to be. If you go to a Thanksgiving Day dinner and there's no stuffing, I might walk out because I love stuffing. A and B, you're just like, dude, what are you doing? How do you not have stuffing on the table? But stuffing to me is most necessary. But I also need to ask, what is the most unnecessary thing on the dinner table? Because every single year I see like the same 3 or 4 things that I go, I'm not touching that. And I don't care how much time you put into it. I love you for it, but I'm not eating it. I'll talk about that on the other side. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for Anthony right here on the Midday Show.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Andrew Salchunas filling in for Anthony until 2 o'clock. You got Divin. Jesus, I ate too much yesterday. Devon Givens, follow me today, 2 until 6. They will be on TV, I believe. Devon and Tyler. So if you're not listening, you can watch Devon and Tyler. Following the show today, 2 until 6, right here on the Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. So I mentioned it going into the break, and this is kind of the side topic I want to have, the first of a few that I'm going to do regarding Thanksgiving. I mentioned the most necessary thing on the Thanksgiving Day table is what? And my answer is stuffing, and I feel like that's a lot of people's answers because it is. It's necessary. Like, it's, this isn't a, that's not a topic where I have to go, let me be a little bit different. No, it's the most necessary thing. If you want to go mashed potatoes, which somebody tweeted in earlier, okay, fine, mashed potato. You know, good point. But the conversation gets a little more heated when it comes to the most unnecessary thing, according to your preference. Now, I'll say this. I have a couple of answers, but they all begin with the same first word. Anything that starts with the word candied, I am so out on. Candied yams, candied carrots, candied pears I've seen 1 year. Out. So far out. And it's not that I don't like that. I don't really like it. Like when I'm eating dinner, I don't want sweets, right? Like, salt, you name it. But I'm also the guy that you're probably watching eat during Thanksgiving. You're probably like, dude, what the hell is this kid doing? I put everything on, like, I stuff the plate. Like, it's disgusting. But I'm a food mixer. Like, I get the turkey, right? I put the fork in the turkey. I will then dip it into the mashed potatoes. and then poke the stuffing, then boom, that's one bite. The turkey, little mash, little stuffing. All in one bite. And you know what? If a Brussels sprout finds its way on the fork with everything else, like, hey, let's go crazy. It's Thanksgiving. But I am also the guy that dumps the gravy over everything.
Oh, come on, man.
What? What, do you not let your gravy touch other things?
Turkey, mashed potatoes, maybe the stuffing if I'm feeling a little wild. But that's where gravy belongs.
Gravy on a Brussels sprout's good.
Dude, Brussels sprouts are not making my plate.
Oh.
No chance.
I'm not saying like the boiled, but like the fried up Brussels sprout.
No form
little,
of Brussels sprout.
Crisp?
No.
Oh, I love a Brussels sprout. The crisp. I can't do... listen, I had a bad experience once. I was in high school. This girl invited me over to her house. I was like, all right. And somebody in the house was boiling like six pots of Brussels sprouts.
Oh my
the
God.
House, I'm sure, doesn't smell any other day. But there were six pots of boiling Brussels sprouts as soon as I walked in. And I was like, why are there six? He loves Brussels sprouts.
If you're that girl, you gotta call out of that one.
And I was like, six pots of Brussels sprouts? And she's a sweetheart.
Oh, yeah, but you can't be inviting on the Brussels sprouts day.
Do you want to go?
You got to know, like, Wednesday's Brussels sprouts day.
So we stay and watch a movie, and, like, the Brussels sprouts, I'm smelling the Brussels sprouts the whole time. But I like the, you know, you put it on the pan, boom, or maybe you put it in the oven, charred a little bit. It's delicious. Brussels sprouts with bacon, fantastic. So I'm pouring the gravy over everything on the plate. I'm not getting no side plate. I'm not getting a side plate of candied stuff. And candied yams and gravy, they don't mix. Candied carrots, gravy, they don't mix. I've seen the yams with the marshmallows on top. Marshmallows and gravy, they don't mix. So the most unnecessary thing on the Thanksgiving Day table for me is candied whatever. I'm out. I don't need the sweets. When I'm eating the gravy with the mash, with the turkey, you name it. So, Connor, the most unnecessary thing on the Thanksgiving Day table is?
It's sweet potatoes. It's not close.
Okay.
Get them out of here. You've already got mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Great form of the potato.
Yeah.
Love me a mashed potato.
That's probably in the candy section. Not, because it's not as sweet.
No, but yeah, it's a little different. See, my family does it with, like you talked about, the marshmallows.
Yeah, I'm out.
No.
I don't need that. No.
No.
Like, you know. Again, I'm a food mixer, so turkey and stuffing in the same bite, turkey and marshmallow.
See, I'm on the opposite end where I eat all of one thing and then move on to the next thing, one at a time.
So you're not, does your food touch? Are you one of those?
It does. No, okay. I'm not like, right. Listen, that's not that big of
a
deal.
I know people.
Yeah.
I used to work with a man.
They're out there.
My man, Robbie E, was anti-food touch. You know, we made jokes about getting the plates with the multiple sections for them, just so he could put the food in different areas. You know, there's people that are anti-food touch. I'm all about it. So that, along with the Eagles conversation, why the hell people just hate Carson Wentz now at a personal level because of his Thanksgiving Day photo yesterday. Wanting them to lose or wanting them to still make the playoffs is a conversation. Jason Peters moving to right guard, Jordan Mailata moving to left tackle, I think is a bigger picture conversation. It's not just, hey, Mailata might protect Carson a little bit more. To me, it is the first of the signs of the youth getting opportunities, which at this point, you can tell me all you want about how the Eagles are still in the running. I don't give a damn if they make the playoffs at 5-10-1 or if they miss the playoffs at 5-10-1. You're 5-10-1 because you suck. Give the younger guys an opportunity so you can decide whether or not you can keep them next year. Right? Give them a shot. Because this team is closer to an all-out rebuild than they are being a contender. So that means you got to give whatever young guys you have an opportunity to prove themselves that they can play on Sundays in the NFL. That includes a guy like Davion Taylor, who you used a third-round draft pick on to what? You know, learn? No, he's got to play! Because linebacker is a position of need on this team. Because it's awful. It's an awful position group. So to me, it's a bigger sign of things to come. At least I hope, because that's a smart thing to do. Finally, the Thanksgiving Day side topic. The most necessary thing on the table, other than turkey. And the most unnecessary thing on the Thanksgiving Day table. Let's go to Nick in Norristown. Nick, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Nick? Nick.
Derek Turner, how you doing?
Yo, what's up, man? How you doing? Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you guys too. Dude, I can't stand just listening to all these Eagles fans blame strictly Wentz. Like, this is a football sport. It's literally everyone. I think Doug is awful, too.
Yeah, I mean, Nick, I heard a caller earlier today, so look at his win-loss record. You can't go just W's and L's, right? Unless the guy totally sucks, you can't go W's and L's.
I mean, every single year, our team's like one of the most injured teams in the NFL. I mean, that happens, whatever, but it's always the O-line getting hurt. Like, who's his best three receivers in his career? Alshon in 2017 and, like, Fulgham the last, like, 8 weeks? Like,
Alshon 2017, Fulgham before Alshon 2020 came back, and DeSean Jackson for a quarter.
Yeah, like, we got to be real here. It's not just Carson. He's had a bad year for sure, but so is the whole team. The roster's always, even since 2017, that Super Bowl year, the roster wasn't great. It's definitely better than it is now.
And that's why,
these people stepped up.
Yeah, and people give look at what Tom Brady's thrown to. He hasn't had, well, he did have Randy Moss before. Let's not forget that. He's also Tom Brady. You know, but he's also Tom Brady, right? Carson Wentz, we're not saying Carson Wentz is Tom Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has some nice weapons. He's got Davante Adams, who's one of the best receivers in the NFL.
Yeah. And he's got a running game too. I mean, our Doug Peterson stinks. Our roster's never been loaded. Our Super Bowl year, everyone just, you know, stepped up that year big time. And every other year we had to like have magic the last six games just to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
but, I mean, I think it's a Howie Roseman mostly. Like, look at these drafts. Even when we got Derek Barnett, we needed a DN and we needed a corner badly.
And then they took Sidney Jones to redshirt him for a year, and you weren't in the position to redshirt.
Right behind Barnett, though, there's an All-Pro in
Marlon Humphrey.
No one even talks about like it's like decisions like that in every draft you look at, like every round.
Yeah, Nick, and that's why when I go, you know, change is necessary. I go upstairs first. You know, is firing Jim Schwartz going to turn this team from a potential 5-10-1 team to an 11-5 team? No, firing Jim Schwartz might help, but if you're still drafting as poorly as you have been for years, 2016 was a decent draft class for the Eagles. Other than that, it's been terrible.
Yeah, and it just comes back to bite you.
Yeah. So, I mean, Nick, I appreciate the call, man. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I still think Carson deserves blame, right? And, you know, that was a very defensive Carson Wentz caller. And Carson still deserves blame. Like, he really does. But, you know, it's funny. I was having this conversation yesterday with my wife's cousin, Michael. So, he actually called in the other day. It was hilarious. So, we were going through Howie's drafts in the last 5 years. And we were saying, like, who's the last, like, lock player that was drafted with Howie around? That doesn't mean he was the guy drafting, but Howie was around. And the last guy that's been a lock and has continued to be a lock has been really Lane Johnson. And that was, what, 2012? That was a long time ago. But drafts in a hole where the guy's been good, people have helped, you name it. The last draft where I think he had a all-around decent draft was 2016. You got Carson. People hate Carson Wentz personally now, but you got Carson. He helped you in 2017 get to a spot where you had a one seed to win the Super Bowl. So you have Carson. In that same draft, you drafted Hal Pulavaati-Vaitai. Not here anymore, but was the starter in the Super Bowl. Went on to get paid by Detroit. Good for Vaitai. I mean, there you go. That's a good draft pick. And it was in a later round, too. I think he's terrible, but you drafted an eventual starter in Isaac Seumalo. Let's see. You drafted Jalen Mills in that draft. Helped you win the Super Bowl. You drafted Wendell Smallwood in the fifth round. Is Wendell Smallwood a good player? No, but he gave you sort of production that a fifth round draft pick would give you. So in 2016, Howie had a okay draft. But look at how I'm reaching here. I literally just said, well, even though he sucks, at least Seumalo's a starter. Right? Like, that's not good enough. Hey, he's a starter. No, he still sucks. Right? Wendell Smallwood still isn't a good player. Vaitai's not here anymore. Mills has been falling apart. Like, I can give you all these names that have contributed.
Yeah, and even Big V. Like, we look at the $50 million he got from Detroit. But you remember when he first started here? Like, this guy has no chance. And he turned into a player.
He did. I think
but
that
it's not like he was a world beater.
That was a Peters thing, too. I feel bad for anyone who's Jason Peters' backup. I do. You got to be ready to play, but you're also not ready to play. And then it's like, oh, damn, I got to go in. But to the caller's point, Nick's point, about look at the receivers he's had by the years, like who's been the best receivers. Yeah, Alshon in 2017, Fulgham for a few weeks here, Greg Ward, DeSean Jackson for a minute. I'm just on the Pro Football Reference depth chart by year, and they only give you two receivers. They don't give you wide receiver 3, 4, 5. But in 2016, his rookie year, Jordan Matthews and Nelson Aguilar. Those are wide receivers 1 and 2. And at that point in Aguilar's career, remember, I mean, my man was, people thought he was going to be out of the league soon. This was before he's having the big year in Oakland. This was before Carson Wentz. Remember, he was drafted in, what, 2015? So, you know, before you go, well, look, Aguilar's doing a good job. No, he was bad before that. 2017, Alshon and Torrey Smith, also Aguilar in the slot. But Torrey Smith didn't have much left. He was a deep threat, kind of. But remember, we talked about his drops. How many times did we complain about Torrey Smith's drops? 2018, Alshon and Aguilar. 2019, Alshon and Aguilar. And then later, Greg Ward and Deonte Burnett and all that stuff. There's no DK Metcalf. There's no DeAndre Hopkins. There's no Davante Adams. It's Alshon and Aguilar and Josh Huff and Doriel Green Beckham and Paul the Burner Turner and Greg Ward and getting overly excited for Travis Fulgham because he finally can catch a ball unlike other receivers. And I'm not saying overly excited to slight Travis Fulgham. He's a football player. But look at how excited we got for Travis Fulgham because he could actually catch because of what we've seen the last 4 years with Carson Wentz. Just awful. Let's go to Dan in Omaha. Dan, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, man?
Hey, Andrew. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
You too, man.
So, you know, people need to, and I know you're doing this, but it's funny how people have a hard time separating 2020 from the rest of Carson's career.
Yeah.
My pet peeve, which I try not to let it get to me anymore, but because the year's going so bad, all the stuff keeps coming back up. But people act like Carson Wentz had nothing to do with the Super Bowl in 2017.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that Nick Foles was the starter in the Super Bowl. He was great in the NFC Championship. He was great in the Super Bowl. But Carson teed it up for him. I mean, you don't just get to the Super Bowl. It takes the whole
season. You don't just get home field advantage in the one seed.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So even if this year continues the way it does, I have to imagine Carson will be back next year. I don't know, but that's just my hunch.
I mean, I feel that way too. Unless Hurts comes into a game and then let's say he plays like AJ Feely and gets them to the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's the only way I see them make a change.
For sure. But even so, either that happens or Carson's back next year and another bad season and we cut him loose. Even if that happens, I would not look back at this time and said, oh, it was a waste with Carson Wentz. Because before Carson Wentz got here, we had not won an NFL championship since Concrete Charlie in 1960.
Yes.
So I get that we all want this to last longer. But if it continues the way it's going and it ends badly, I will not look it back at Carson Wentz and say, well, it was a waste. We won a Super Bowl. We hadn't done that before.
Yeah, and he was a big part of it, man.
But I get this year is not going well. I mean, there is nothing to defend this year. So I get it. But it just kind of drives me nuts that people, if you defend Carson previously, people think you're defending him now.
Oh, yeah, because
it's not the same thing.
That's also because of how bad it's going right now. You know, it's just part of the territory. Now, Dan, let me ask you the most necessary and unnecessary things on the Thanksgiving Day table, aside from turkey, as necessary.
Yeah. Well, I love pumpkin pie. I'm not exaggerating. I've literally eaten a pumpkin pie and a half in the last 2 days.
Oh, that's fine. I don't blame you.
The next one I'm afraid to say, because I know people are going to judge me, but I just don't think macaroni and cheese is necessary for Thanksgiving.
I don't blame you for that, Dan, and I appreciate the call. I had it yesterday, but I can also tell you the only reason why the mac and cheese was made was because my nephew is 2 years old. Connor, I ask you. Now, growing up, me personally, we did not have mac and cheese growing up. I never had it on Thanksgiving Day. Like, it was never there. When you get on social media, you start learning about other different cultures, other different livelihoods, other different people, different areas. Mac and cheese is a big topic because there's good mac and cheese and there's bad mac and cheese. There's home-cooked mac and cheese, and there's somebody that just made a big thing of Easy Mac. So it's a big... it was all over Twitter yesterday. Did you have Thanksgiving... Or did you have mac and cheese growing up on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, when you were five? Always did.
Okay.
Because my mom always makes it from scratch. It's like her favorite thing to make.
Yeah, that's different.
But like everywhere I've ever had Thanksgiving, past girlfriends or anything, friends' houses, always mac and cheese.
So... Oh, you went to past girlfriends' houses on Thanksgiving?
No, they weren't exes at the time while I was dating.
Once or twice.
I think it was my college girlfriend.
Okay, college. I thought you meant like the high school.
No, that's a little much for high school, I feel like.
Yeah, I would, no.
And full disclosure, I got kind of dragged into it, so. You know how it goes.
Yeah, you know, to me, it's, like, I didn't see my family yesterday, but I'm married.
Right, well, we have a lot of, my family, like, my closest relatives are way upstate New York.
Okay.
So, we have small stuff for Thanksgiving every year.
So it
wasn't a big deal.
All right. So, yeah, we never did the mac and cheese growing up. I've only recently, because now that I'm a part of the family, my wife that I'm married into, we've been splitting the years every single year. And a lot of times we're actually coming together, but because of COVID this year, we didn't do that. Somebody always brings the mac and cheese. So now the mac and cheese on Thanksgiving Day has been a part of my life for about 5 years now. But when I was growing up, I didn't have the mac and cheese. So I understand where Dan is coming from. I do.
I think it's a staple. I think it's got to be there.
But
there's a lot of things to get rid of before mac and cheese goes off the plate.
Like anything that's candied. Candy yams, candy carrots. So I made a mistake yesterday. And we're going to open up more Thanksgiving Day topics as well. Brian, Zach, and Stan, you guys hang tight. Couple open lines, 610-632-0975. I made a mistake yesterday that I made about 4 years ago. Okay? There's a gap of years since I did this. 4 years ago, my wife's aunt was still with us. Unfortunately, she passed away this year. She makes made a delicious pineapple stuffing. All right? So her daughter, my wife's cousin, in her honor, made it yesterday. Delicious. Fantastic. But I've made the same mistake twice now before realizing what it is. Because it looks like stuffing. You don't see the pineapple. Like, it looks like stuffing. You don't see the cinnamon. Everything's mixed in there. I've put it on the same plate where I douse the gravy. And I go to take a bite. And I'm like, what is this? And it's cinnamon and pineapple stuffing. It's not overly sweet like the candied stuff or the sweet potatoes. It's just a little, you know.
But when you're expecting the stuffing, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was normal stuffing on the table. But sometimes, like my mom did this growing up, she would do the stuffing, like out of the box. But yep. She also put the stuffing that was inside the bird.
Absolutely.
So we had two bowls of stuffing, which meant I had to get a scoop of both because it was, you know, it's delicious.
Of course.
So I just thought it was kind of like that because they also always look different. Like the gravy from the can and the gravy that you make with the turkey, it looks different. So I'm thinking, oh, it's just one of those kinds of deals. And I was like, oh, I did it again. But then when you put it on the plate the second, so I ended up doing a second plate because I always do. And I avoided putting the gravy on. And it's fantastic. It's delicious. But it's just, you can't mix it with the gravy.
Yeah, see, that's got to be a smell thing on your part. You got to be able to sniff that one out. I don't know how that works.
I know, you don't have the sense of smell.
But that's got to be a smell thing.
Maybe you put a label.
What, on like the bowl? Yeah, and just like...
Pineapple stuffing. And I go, oh, okay, I know not to dump gravy on here like an idiot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I still think that's a every man for themselves type of deal. Okay. Yeah, you got to sniff that one out.
All right, the other Thanksgiving Day topic that I'm going to bring up, because I feel and felt guilty last night doing it. When it comes to, and it's probably because of what we did growing up, when it comes to eating the Thanksgiving Day dinner, no matter what time it's at, we did it about 5 o'clock yesterday. Growing up, it was always 4 o'clock at my house. I've done 6. I've done 3. You name it. But when it comes to the Thanksgiving dinner, meal, whatever time you do it, what is the protocol of where you sit and how you sit and how you decide where to sit when the football's on in the other room? 610-632-0975. We'll talk about that on the other side. He's Connor Thomas. I'm Andrew Salchunas. We've got a couple of open lines. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for Anthony right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
O'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic, 12 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. I'm Andrew Salchunas, the Chunas. Filling for Anthony. Anthony off today. He'll be back on Monday. Connor Thomas sitting in my chair today. We got two open lines. You can grab them at 610-632-0975 as we talk about all things Eagles, all things Carson Wentz, and the personal hate that people have for him all of a sudden. All kinds of fun stuff, because that's what this season has been. It's been absolute fun for the Eagles. Just kidding. I've wanted to rip my eyes out every single week that I watch this team play, even on the games that they've won. And that's why they are 3-6-1. So a second side topic that I want to open up regarding the Thanksgiving Day, because a lot of these are really controversial, right? The food, when it comes to the food, there's always the great conversation of what should be at the barbecue, what should be at the cookout, what should be at Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, you name it. And people are always, the opinions are always different. There is never one specific answer. So when I ask question, side topic question number one, what is the most necessary and unnecessary thing on the Thanksgiving Day table other than turkey? Because turkey's got to be on there. You can't not have turkey. I don't care if you're a house of vegetarians, turkey's got to be on there. You know, it's just got to be there. But there's also the unnecessary stuff. And for me, I'm anti-candied anything. Connor's anti-sweet potato or sweet potato. Is it sweet potatoes?
Sweet potatoes, okay. In general.
Have you had sweet potato pie? It's pretty good.
See, I'm not a pie guy.
Okay, you're not.
Not a piesman.
Weirdo. I can't talk, though, when it comes to food. But the other one that a lot of people are answering with, and I completely agree, but I didn't want to say it because I know people like it. Cranberry sauce is so stupid.
That's trash too.
It's absolute trash. Like cranberry sauce and turkey? And I get it. People do that at what's the Wawa sandwich? The Gobbler?
The Gobbler, yeah.
It has, what's it got on there?
Turkey? I've never had the Gobbler. I think there's like mashed potatoes.
There's turkey, potato, gravy, and cranberry.
Yeah.
But again, gravy mixed with cranberry sounds awful. Now, is it one of those don't knock it till you try it kind of things? But those two just sound like they don't mix. Just like gravy and candied yams don't mix.
Yeah, like if you made a turkey sandwich, you're not going to put like jam on there or anything. You're not putting...
No,
like,
but people do. People love the cranberry sauce. But a lot of people are responding with the most unnecessary thing. I have gone through many a Thanksgiving growing up, and I don't know why my mom did it. I think it's because I had my uncle at Thanksgiving once, and he got to the house and said, oh man, I can't wait for the cranberry sauce. And my mom was literally like, what? Like, we don't have any. So my dad actually had to drive to find one of the open grocery stores to get a can of cranberry sauce, because he was the one person.
That's a violation on the uncle. You can't roll in asking for something without knowing it's there.
Yeah, I completely agree. But that's what he did. He rolled in for the first time in 9 years. I'll throw that one out there. Shout out to you. So there's personal stuff. After that year, my mom would bring the cranberry sauce. She put it on the table, even though the same people were there every year. It was me, my dad, my mom, my sister. Eventually, my brother-in-law came into the picture. Eventually, my future wife came into the picture. Eventually, you know, my grandparents were always there. And nobody ate it. But it was always on the table, just in case, I guess, the uncle decided to stumble in again. So I guess that was the reason why it was always on the table. But nobody ate it. And I saw yesterday, the cranberry sauce was on the table with maybe one spoonful missing. Because it's become the peep of Thanksgiving. It's the candy corn of Thanksgiving. People buy it or make it just so that everyone else might want it. Nobody does. Because people think it's necessary for the holiday.
Yeah, that's an Instagram side where you're taking the picture to put it on social media. And you got to have that.
Is. But there was no Instagram 20 years ago when people were still doing it. People thought it was necessary to eat it. And it's not. Hot take, if you don't want to eat something, don't eat it. That's all. Boom. Don't feel bad. Feel the need to say, hey, nobody eats this. Don't make it anymore. So, there's the other big hot button topic that I need. My man Stan, I can't wait to talk to him about it. Stan's a great sportsman. And everybody who's listening, great sports people. You guys call, listen, talk about sports, you name it. Thanksgiving Day, other than the food and the gathering of family, it's a little different this year. The biggest thing is football. I always don't know what to do when it comes to where the hell do I sit to eat. Because growing up, my mom was, no, you get your ass at the dinner table. And we had the dining room, which was used for three times a year. And one of the three times was Thanksgiving. The kitchen area, you couldn't see the TV, but you could get a glance. You could do a stretch like, oh, look, Dallas is losing. But the dining room, no, you can't see the TV. You can't even hear the TV. So yesterday, I was at my wife's sister's house. So it's my sister-in-law, brother-in-law. The two of them sat at the table, not near the TV where the football game was on. But my father-in-law sat, he went right to the couch. He said, screw the table. I'm going to the couch to watch the game. Now, I made the initial move of going to the couch with my father-in-law. Okay? But then I saw where they sat. And they're the hosts. They're, you know, it's their house. So I put a lot of food on my plate. So I did the whole, it'll be easier to eat this on the table. So I got up and went to the table. You know, so how do you handle that situation? Now, you and I talked about during the break. You said you would piss off your mom and you would just go right to the couch, right?
Yeah, you can't. See,
but I'm in a different spot. I'm in a different spot here.
But yeah, if it's not your house, if it's not your family's house, if you're there as a guest. And I originally thought when you told me that the father-in-law went for the couch, I thought you're good, you're golden, because I thought it was his place.
No,
you gotta go where the hosts go. Yeah, that's the right thing to do.
But they don't. So I don't want to put words in their mouth, but I don't think they cared where people sat, because it wasn't just my father-in-law that sat at the table. It was also Chrissy's uncle and Chrissy's cousin. So there were three guys right there. I could have joined in or I could have sat at the table. Now the table had five chairs there or something like that. I took the last chair. If I did not sit there, there would have been an open chair. Right? So is that weird that there's an open chair?
Yeah, it is a little bit.
And my wife's sitting at the table.
Oh, if the wife's there. Well, the other thing is, what was the timing with the game? Because the first game, well, both games were kind of a blowout.
The first game was done. It was the Washington-Dallas game, and it was before halftime.
Yeah, you got to tell them, guys, NFC East is on. I got to watch this. If it's a blowout, you say, oh, okay, I'm going to be a good guy. I'm going to skip football for you guys, knowing the game's over. But
yeah,
I'd be on the couch.
Yeah, dinner was served, man. So I ate. As soon as I was done, I moved over to the couch. But I thought it was my duty going to my sister-in-law's house to sit at the table. Now, again, it was much easier to eat at the table because my plate was full with gravy and everything. I didn't want to get it on the couch. That was another pretty good excuse. But I had at that point, you know, I got to make the decision.
Yeah, this year especially, though.
So you would have stayed at the couch?
Yeah, this year, there's no late game. You got two games. You got to watch those games. There's no, like, sit down and you've had a couple beers and dinner's done. You're going to watch the late game, have fun. Like, that game's out of the question. You're already on the second game. You got to sit there and get as much football in as you can.
We have some breaking news. Lane Johnson is done for the season. So, there's that. I'm just seeing this from Tim McManus. Lane Johnson says his season is over. Says the inside of his ankle has collapsed.
That doesn't sound good.
No. So, it looks like Lane Johnson is speaking to the media. Yeah, he says, here's a quote from John Clark's Twitter account. Excuse me, I'm just seeing this now. It's been difficult to play at a high level, the anxiety. So, listen, I give Lane Johnson all the credit in the world. The dude's been playing banged up, you know, like crazy. You know, I feel like a hypocrite if I don't say it, but I also like hate saying it. The last, not last year as much, but this year, it's been very Jason Peters-like, right? He starts a game, goes down the field, plays a quarter, has to come off. There was a game a few weeks ago where he came off on the very first series, and I'm like, it must be tough for whoever the backup right tackle is to have to game plan, not game plan as a starter, and then all of a sudden you're 3 minutes into the game and you got to play. You have to go out there right tackle. So I don't want to, I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't say anything because I ripped Jason, I'd not rip Jason Peters the person, I ripped the situation that they keep on putting Jason Peters back out there, whether it was Vitae, whether it was, I think Sam Allen played left tackle for a second, whether it's been Dillard, whether it's been Mailata, whether it's been Driscoll, you name it. All these guys are on their toes, ready to have to go in, but I still think that's difficult. So I'd be a hypocrite not to say about Lane, not the person, not the competitor, not the person, but the situation of the team. So it's a good decision that Lane Johnson's done, especially if his ankle is collapsed.
Yeah,
like that means he can't move, right? Like that means he needs like legit surgery again on the ankle. But you're now out, Lane Johnson,
and it looks like he said his replacement he believes is going to be Matt Pryor,
which I hate. I hate that. I mean, Matt Pryor. I mean, Driscoll's been banged up. Driscoll went into the game last week before Mailata, which was I don't know what the hell this coaching staff's doing. But it's interesting. This happens after they move Mailata to the left tackle. You would think, because they were trying to build Mailata as a swing tackle, unless Peters is cooked, Carson Wentz is in trouble this week. Let's just say that. He might be a little more sure on the left side with Mailata. Can you trust Matt Pryor, right tackle?
No. No chance.
And I'm not saying I'd rather see an injured Lane Johnson out there than Matt Pryor. No. If Lane Johnson's ankles collapse, like, he can't play. Huh. So, that just coming in. We got an open line if you want to react to it. 610-632-0975. Aside with the, you know, also with all these Thanksgiving Day conversations. Lane Johnson, done for the season. The ankle's clearly been bothering him all season long. Right, all year, the offensive line, or Lane Johnson's been dealing with that injury. But now, he's done for the season, the remainder of the season.
And you got, like Connor just said, looks like Matt Pryor will play right tackle. So your line of, oh my God, Mailata, left tackle, Seumalo, left guard, one-armed Jason Kelce at center, Jason Peters playing a new position at right guard, and Matt Pryor moving from guard to tackle. Carson, our prayers are with you. Let's go to Brian in Westchester. Brian, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Brian.
You know, if Dallas had Carson Wentz and his contract, we would be saying Dallas is screwed for the next 4 years, and we would be correct. And that's the situation the Eagles are in, because you cannot devote 25% of your salary cap to a player that is not only not very good, but is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league.
Can I ask you something, Brian? So he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league statistically this season. Was he one of the worst quarterbacks in the league last year, the year before, or after the 27? Hold on. When they paid him, which was following the 2017 and the 2018 seasons, where he put up good numbers and was not the worst quarterback in the league, are you still blaming them for giving him that contract?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I'm not blaming anyone. I was in favor of signing Carson.
Okay.
Wentz. I was a Carson Wentz
fan. You're saying if we were watching Carson on the Cowboys. Now, can I also ask you this, Brian? Carson Wentz on the Cowboys has Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, and Ezekiel Elliott. Is Carson Wentz struggling as much with those guys as opposed to Miles Sanders, who clearly Doug Peterson has his doubts of, Travis Fulgham, Alshon Jeffrey when he wants to show up, Deshaun Jackson when his legs stay intact? You know, is Carson in the same spot in Dallas, statistically?
No, not even close. Not even close. He would be playing at a better level than what he has with the Eagles. But when you give a contract of 32, 33, 34 in the following years, the quarterback has to be able to make other players around him better. And what I'm saying is, I don't think that that's a possibility. And if Carson is basically unable to reach that level, you are left with basically drafting another quarterback so you can have a rookie contract.
But what if you drafted better receivers around him? Right? Like, let's face it, Brian, what you also have to do. Okay, so you're right. Like, a guy like Patrick Mahomes, eventually they probably won't be able to pay every single receiver that he has, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, all those guys. Eventually the Chiefs won't be able to pay everyone. But here's the thing. They keep on finding guys in the draft, right? Yeah. Whereas the Eagles, in recent years, have drafted a backup tight end in Dallas Goedert, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who was a healthy scratch 2 weeks ago, and Jalen Reagor, who I think is a good player, but when you compare him to what Justin Jefferson is doing, who was picked one pick later, you go, oh, well, if they took Jefferson, if they didn't take a backup tight end, if they took DK Metcalf, maybe Carson's in a better position, and we're not saying the same stuff. They also have to draft better. That also comes back to personnel.
No, there's multiple things.
Yeah,
when you brought up Taylor with defense, Jim Schwartz, in order for you to draft a player and to play with Jim Schwartz, you not only have to be a great football player, you have to be a Jeopardy champion. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm tired of, you know, this. My defense is so complex. If it's so complex, why does everyone seem to figure it all out and be every week?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's complex to play in. You're right, Brian. You're spot on, man. I mean, I don't know. And maybe you should also draft guys that know how to play football. No offense to Davion Taylor, but the guy played a game and a half in high school.
Yeah, no. Look, they said from the get-go, he doesn't have the instincts because he doesn't have the experience that most players have had. He's an incredible athlete. But, you know, you plug him in your Schwartz thing, you know, the guy would be 40 before he figures it out.
It's a good point, Brian. I appreciate the call. But, yeah, I mean, it comes back to all kinds of things. That's why when you have these who's to blame conversations, you can't pick one specific person. You can't. You just can't. You can put majority of blame on someone, but it also can't be like an 80-20 thing. Like, it's like 30 this guy, 30 this guy, 30 this guy, 10 this guy. I don't know. Like, Carson Wentz, has he been good this year? Hell no. He's been terrible. But I don't know. Brian says, well, because Carson got paid so much and because he's not playing up to his contract, they're in trouble. Well, what if Carson had DK Metcalf and Justin Jefferson? What if he had those two receivers? Like, let's not say that Tyreek Hill is not good, right? Like, he's the fastest receiver in the league. Let's not say that the other guys on Kansas City aren't good. Maybe they were later round picks and they drafted them just because of their speed and because they have Patrick Mahomes. So maybe that appeals to the offense that they try to run. Right? Am I crazy, Connor?
No, not at all.
Patrick Mahomes might put it in a good spot, but Patrick Mahomes can also just go, let me throw this ball 50 yards downfield to this spot because I know Tyreek Hill will be there.
Yeah, and if he's not, then you got Sammy Watkins, then you got Mecole Hardman, then you have Pringle. Someone will be there.
Hardman barely
because
plays.
Everyone's faster.
Because they have so many guys. And I'm using, the Chiefs are the top example. But, I love Greg Ward. And I say that in a way. But is Greg Ward, I don't know, if the Eagles weren't so desperate last year, is Greg Ward a wide receiver somewhere in the NFL? I don't know. The dude was on the practice squad for a few years.
Yeah, we have dudes that are good compared to other guys on the Eagles. Do we have dudes that are good compared to other guys in the NFL?
No, probably not. I mean, again, who is Travis Fulgham? He was cut by two other teams and once by the Eagles, probably for a reason. He was just the best of what you had. And ever since Alshon came back, it's a bit of a mess, but what are you going to do? We got one open line, 610-632-0975. I want to have some fun with these Thanksgiving conversations, but we've had two big pieces of news dropped during the show regarding the Eagles. And again, there's no press conferences that we're airing today. There's no guests are coming on. It's your show. We got one open line. Jason Peters is moving to right guard. Jordan Mailata will be the starting left tackle. But now, just coming in about 10 minutes ago, Lane Johnson, done for the season. So Matt Pryor, it looks like, will be your right tackle. I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out once somebody announces something. But it'll be another offensive line change. It'll be probably the 10th different. Last week was 9th different starting offensive line group. It'll probably be the 10th different, today. Or Monday, excuse me. So we're reacting to that as well. We'll have some fun with the Thanksgiving stuff, but there is a lot going on with the birds right now. On the Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, I know you guys, you just want to hang out, relax, hold your food babies that you guys got, because I got one today, but you can't, because the Eagles just sometimes make you sick. 610-632-0975. One open line. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Taking you till 2 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, right around 12:30, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas filling in for Anthony. Connor Thomas producing the show. So we've got a lot going on. I thought, I was coming in here saying, I got some good topics. And then news breaks, right? So, I open up the show with just trying to figure out the hatred for Carson Wentz, because it's now gotten to a personal level, right? The man posts a Thanksgiving Day photo with the wife, his kid, his three dogs. Happy Thanksgiving. And then you look at the responses. And it's go bleep yourself. Go practice. You shouldn't enjoy Thanksgiving. You shouldn't enjoy family time. But I'm like, oh my God, what is wrong with you people? And this happens in all cities. It's not just a Philadelphia thing. But you, the person who responded with that, are the reason why, we get this rep. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, oh, God. But I was trying to just sort of dive into the Carson Wentz thing, because he sucked. This year, he has sucked. But I still don't think it's all on him. But when he has opportunities to hit open receivers and he misses them, yeah, he sucked. Also, when it comes to the Eagles, whether or not You want them to make the playoffs. You still want, like, I'm at the point now where I go, hey, Andy McPhail said it best, just for the wrong reason. If they do, they do. They don't, they don't. If the Eagles make the playoffs, all right, I'll root for them for a game until they get blown out. If they don't make the playoffs, they go, all right, draft pick, there's going to be changes. That's great. I love it all. Then we move on to the Thanksgiving Day side topics, the necessary food on the table, other than turkey, the unnecessary food on the table. The second side topic, how do you handle the decision of going to the table to eat or the couch to watch football when there are people split, but the hosts of the house are at the table? So I figured I got to go to the table. No matter how many people were at the couch, no matter that Dallas and Washington were playing. But then news comes out. Jason Peters, not your left tackle this week, thank God. He moves to right guard. Jordan Mailata will be playing left tackle, and he should be for the rest of the season, because you need to find out the youth on this team who is ready to go, because you are closer to a rebuild than you are being a contender. And you need a young core to figure that out. So Jordan Mailata needs to get more playing time. Fulgham should play 100% of the snaps, not just in certain packages. Alshon Jeffery shouldn't play. He does nothing for you. Jalen Reagor should play 100% of the snaps. John Hightower should get, I don't know what the percentage is for a burner, right, who's not out there every play, but whatever the max amount of percentage of snaps he should get, being the third string guy, who is a bit of a one-trick pony, but he should also learn how to come back for a football so Carson doesn't get picked. Sanders should get as many carries as he can in a game. So you got to figure this out. Get Davion Taylor on the field. I don't give a damn if he gives up a touchdown. Let him learn from it, because he played a game and a half of football in high school. Let me see what he can do. So you finally make one decision where a younger player is getting the start at left tackle. But this then comes in, Lane Johnson, season over. He quote said, "It feels like my ankle has collapsed on the inside." So Lane Johnson is done for the year. We don't know who's playing right tackle yet. A lot of people saying Matt Pryor. A lot of people saying if Jack Driscoll, because he's been banged up, if he's healthy enough, he might play right tackle. Hey, and if that works, he was a guy that you drafted this year. You got to give Got to give him some credit. So your line will look as follows. Mailata left tackle. Seumalo left guard. One arm Jason Kelsey at center. Jason Peters at right guard. And then it's either Matt Pryor or Jack Driscoll at right tackle. That's your offensive line this week. I would rather, if healthy, see Driscoll. So, because Pryor's been here for a few years, and Pryor looks terrible at his natural position of guard, let's see what he does at tackle, I would rather see the youth in Jack Driscoll, a guy you drafted, give him the opportunity. Yes, Carson Wentz's life might be on the line. You got to see what these younger guys can do.
Well, if you're seeing the youth everywhere else,
yes,
you want to see the youth at quarterback.
Yeah, well, that's where I go. He gets the start this week. There's no doubt in my mind, even though Doug couldn't handle his press conference well the other day. But if it's shut out at halftime again, the last 3 weeks, they've averaged 3 points in the first half. The last 3 weeks, 3.3 points. That is dead last in the NFL over the last 3 weeks. This season, in the first half, they are averaging 8.8 points in the first half. That is sixth worst in the NFL. Two very bad numbers, two very bad stats. Comes back to game planning, comes back to execution, comes back to Doug, comes back to Carson. Happens, same conversation every week. You can pick who you want to blame. Regardless, they both deserve blame. Anyways, if it happens again where they are shut out or they only put up 3 points and it's been ugly, Jalen Hurts should start the second half against Seattle, because I'm at the point where I go, if they look dead, which they didn't look dead leading up to last week's game, but the Browns in the fourth quarter, the Eagles' offense looked dead. That was the first time I said, put the kid's ass on the bench and bring in Jalen Hurts. That was the first time. But it's at the point now where I want to see the youth. And I don't think, here's the only problem, Connor, to your point. I don't think Jalen Hurts is an answer moving forward. Like, I don't. I don't think next year, the year after, I don't think they get to a Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts. I don't think he is, which is why I'm hesitant to make that move. I think Jordan Mailata can, I don't know, but maybe he's your left tackle moving forward. We'll have to find out. That's why he should have been playing the last few weeks. But we'll find out, okay, can you move forward with Jordan Mailata, your left tackle? Can you move forward with Jack Driscoll as the, not the right tackle next year because if Lane Johnson's healthy, he gets the job back. But is he that guy that you go, hey, Jack, look what we did for Halapulavati Vaitai. That can be you. You get paid somewhere else. But right now, you're our backup tackle, swing tackle. You need to see that. You need to see if you can play. I don't know who the hell Davion Taylor is. I don't. But your linebacking crew is so bad, except for a good week by Alex Singleton. One good week. One good week by TJ Edwards. Right? Like, except for those two one good weeks by one specific player, not a group, by a player. Other than that, you go, all right, let's see Sean Bradley out of Temple. Let's see Davion Taylor out of Colorado. Let's see these guys play. Because you suck. You're 3-6-1. You're not. If you make the playoffs, it's because the rest of your division is just worse. But right now, you're in second place. You're no longer in first place losing games. You need a win at this point. And I just don't think they can do that. So that's why I'm hesitant to put Hurts in, because I don't think he's the answer. Now, we can find out, to your point, but I don't know. We'll find out. So 610-632-0975. That entire show recap was brought to you by Dietz and Watson. Dietz and Watson and family-owned Heritage's Dairy Stores, who make their hoagies with premium Dietz and Watson meats and cheeses. To find the area's best hoagies, visit DietzandWatson.com. Let's go to JR on the cell. JR, are you on the Fanatic? Hey, JR.
Hey.
What's up, man?
I think your boy's soft.
Who?
Mentally, he's soft.
Who? Who's my boy?
Prince.
Oh, why do you think he's soft mentally? How do you know? Have you talked to him?
No, but I mean, look at the way he reacts to things. Look at his body language when he does things. And the fact that if you look at his numbers before the Nicky statue and the Nicky Super Bowl, he was a lot better. You know, and you can sense.
You mean post and previous torn ACL and broken back?
Yeah, but you know what?
You know what I'm saying?
For that, as a quarterback anymore.
Okay.
So, you know, every quarterback out there has got some kind of injury, has had some kind of banged up, broken up. You know, I mean, Brady tore an ACL, went on to win six, you know, Super Bowls.
Yeah, he's the best quarterback of all time. Carson
is. Okay, well, I understand. But, you know, the guy was a second round pick. He traded away a bunch of things. He's done, you know, and you can't say that. I don't care who you got out there. If the guy's making bad decisions, he's going to continue to make bad decisions. The guy has missed high since college.
Yeah.
He still misses high.
He does. He basically killed Zach Ertz last year.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? He just, this is what you have. This is what you will continue to have.
Can I ask something? Because I'm anti calling somebody soft mentally when I don't know the person, right? Like, I hear people say that about Ben Simmons all the time, and you might be right, because the guy's afraid to shoot. You know, maybe he is mentally soft. I don't know. Somebody who's good in the fourth quarter as opposed to other quarters where it's really crunch time. Do you think that's mentally soft?
No, but is it really crunch time, or is it, I'm so far behind that I can just chuck it and duck it? You know what I'm saying?
Was he far behind against the Giants when they came back, when they were a touchdown away?
No, but I mean, they're the Giants.
Okay, what about Pittsburgh, who are, 10-0? They were in that entire game.
I understand, but they lost that game.
Yeah, they lost because they put Nate Gary covering Chase Claypool 1-on-1.
That helped my fantasy team a lot, though.
Oh, well, then I'm happy for it, JR. Have a nice day, man. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. I hate when people go, oh, he's soft. What do you know about the dude? Like, have you ever talked to Carson? Is it because Carson was on a podcast a few weeks ago and said, I care more about my family? Wait a minute. You mean this man who's supposed to just be there for my entertainment cares more about his family life than my beloved Eagles? It's almost like the same thing when it comes to the social injustice conversation, right? Yeah, they're human. You know, people are humans too. Athletes are humans too. Okay? Just saying. So Carson can love his family more than his love for football. Now, that could be a problem. Maybe he's not 100% invested in the game. And maybe that's what is affecting him. I don't know. I've never talked to the guy. But I also believe a guy who has 7 touchdowns to 3 interceptions, and a guy who has rushed for 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, not when teams take their foot off the gas pedal. Maybe Baltimore did. right? I've heard that 1,000 times. But Pittsburgh didn't. Cincinnati didn't. Cincinnati's not good enough to take their foot off the gas pedal. They only tied. They didn't win, but they tied. The Giants didn't take their foot off the gas. Oh, well, it's the Giants. Well, the Giants could win the division. All I'm saying is Carson has balled out in the fourth quarter this year. It has been his best quarter. Statistically, and using your own eyes, best quarter has been the fourth quarter. And maybe, Connor, just maybe, it's when they are in desperation and they go up-tempo and they go out of the pocket and Carson has to improvise. And the offense looks a little bit better outside of Doug Peterson's first quarter scripted game plan. You know what else is scripted, Connor, which people don't talk about? The first quarter scripted, right? You practice all week for it. It's not as scripted like you're ready to hand it to Hollywood, but the second half adjustment, right? That first drive in the third quarter, you had 15 minutes to, oh my God, I got to hit this deadline. But you make some adjustments. Carson Wentz's worst statistical quarter, the third quarter. Maybe it's because Doug makes adjustments and his adjustments aren't good. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Am I crazy to say that?
You're not.
But am I also crazy to say my man's got balls if he's playing well in the fourth quarter as opposed to the other quarters?
Yeah, the people that call Carson mentally soft, it seems like almost an evolution. Because, you know, these people don't go away. The people who are the haters of players, especially Carson Wentz, they don't go away. They evolve.
And they find everything to pick
right. There, it seems like it's the evolution of the people who are like, he's soft for not playing through a concussion in last year's playoff game.
Oh, my God. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. It seems like that's the evolution. So now, he's not physically soft because he hasn't gotten hurt in a season and change now, season and a half.
So he's mentally soft.
So now it's mentally.
I just go, hey, you know what? I might be mentally soft, too, if I'm getting hit 15 times a game. I want to see how many times he got hit. I'm gonna figure that out. Let's go to Lee in Elkins Park. Lee, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Great. How are you?
How you doing? And I like your show.
Thanks, so, brother. Appreciate it.
Even though we might disagree where I'm about to go with this.
Oh, that's fine. I love it. I love the conversation.
Here's my issue. Okay. Let's talk about. You made a point, which a lot of people do. Carson,
you there? I don't want to lose you, Lee. See, now it's because he told me he was going to disagree. That's when the phone cuts out and people are like, he's still there. Connor, jot down his number. I want you to call him back. I'm going to put him on hold. Jot down his number. Call him right back because I don't want to be that guy. But no, we'll call Lee back because I need to hear his point. I will make this point before I go to the next call. To the point about Carson getting hit. Hey, guys, he leads the league in getting hit. Hey, guys, he's been hit 43 times, which is tied with Russell Wilson. Oh, well, Russell Wilson. Yeah, Russell Wilson is a top 5 quarterback. Carson Wentz is not. Maybe Carson Wentz is just 10th, whatever list you guys have. But Carson Wentz getting hit 43 times may not help. I kind of want to see where some of these other guys are at. Like Lamar Jackson's been hit 9 times this year. That's nice. Kyler Murray, a lot of people are saying he's the MVP or in the conversation. He's been hit 13 times this year, Kyler Murray. 13. 30 less than Carson. Oh, Derek Carr. He's better than Carson. He's been hit 14 times. Aaron Rodgers. Another guy in the MVP conversation. And I'm not comparing the two, right? Aaron Rodgers is a superior quarterback. Aaron Rodgers has been hit 16 times this year. Carson Wentz has been hit 43. All right, we got Lee back. Lee, I didn't want your call disappearing on me. What do you got?
Okay, I was going in. Okay, now, what I just pointed out was, okay, you agree, right, that we had the good year 2017. And what I was pointing out was real quick, he got hurt, and obviously, you know what happened after that. Nick Foles took over. Now, in 2018, he did all right. He didn't do quite as well, but he didn't have a bad season. But then when the Eagles thought that they were out of it, They asked Nick Foles, look out for us and get back on the field and play. Even though we're out the playoffs, we don't want our franchise quarterback to go out there and get hurt some more.
It was that. It wasn't the fact that they did an MRI and they found that he had a broken bone in his back. It was because they asked Nick Foles to save the season.
Well, okay. Maybe I said it the wrong way. I apologize. Okay. I'll go with that.
Because, I mean, I'm just saying, my man had a broken back. You got to sit the guy.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
What I'm saying is this. If you take the worst quarterbacks in the NFL, I'm talking about J.P. Lawson, Blair Gabbert.
J.P., you're calling J.P. Lawson. That's a bust-out name.
No, hear me out. Right, hear me out.
All right.
And if you put them on the Dallas team, they're still the same quarterback. You know where I'm going with this.
So you think
they're still the same. If they're playing bad, they're still playing bad. And I hear a lot of people keep saying, there's no guarantee right now. I'm not talking about 2017 Carson Wentz.
No, we're talking about 2020. Yeah.
We're talking about broken back, torn ACL.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, who looks like he's struggling to read the defense at times. It's clearly on film shows that.
Yes.
Shows he holds the ball too long.
Yep.
Okay. And the fact that he can have Jerry Rice at receiver. Jerry Rice can't stop. He leads the league in interceptions.
Yes, he does.
He can pick one interception, but he leads the league. And then you can have the best wide receiver ever play the game. If he's throwing a ball like 10 feet in the air, there's nothing he can do about it.
No, you're right, but I'm also making the case about the offensive line. We were calling you back. Let me throw this out there because we were calling you back so you didn't hear this. Carson Wentz has been hit 43 times this season.
Correct.
43. And I gave you names like Kyler Murray, who's been hit 13 times this year. Rodgers, 16 times this year. Derek Carr is now all of a sudden the hot take that he's better than Carson 14 times this year.
Good point. Good point. Very good point. But I will say this, though. Okay? I will say this. What's really hurting the Eagles, and this is why, you know, I don't agree with excuses for the magnitude of the excuses for Carson Wentz. I have the idiots that's commenting on his page. I don't even want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
They're not me. They're not you. They're people with no class.
I completely agree with you.
What I'm talking to you about is the simple fact that he's not performing in spite of all that, you know, as a $130 million franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, people, I've heard all type of excuses. He got to see the statue when he drive to work. He got to deal with Nick Foles, won the Super Bowl. He got to deal with this receiver, that receiver, and all that. But it seems that when I watch him, he does seem like the last caller called and you were talking to him, and he got a point. He does seem like he struggles sometimes on the field mentally and physically now. He looks beat down. I don't know if it's a broken back, torn ACL.
Maybe I appreciate the call, man. I let you have a lot more time. We even called you back. You name it. He might be damaged goods. Like he could be. Right? I'll say that. Carson Wentz could be shot. Right? Like he could be totally cooked. He could be seeing ghosts. Happened to Kevin Cobb here in Philadelphia. Happened to Kevin Cobb. And I said at the beginning of this season, was it week two or week three? I forget. But I do the post-game show, me and the bro. I saw in one game about three or four design screens where Carson Wentz was going off his back foot on a screen pass. All right, I'm not saying shot downfield 4 seconds before he threw the ball. Design screen pass, Carson Wentz was back-footing it, and then after he released, would jump as if he was avoiding somebody from rolling over his leg. Now, maybe after the torn ACL, after the back injury, maybe they tried instructing him to avoid hits. Maybe like that could be 100% possible. But maybe it's so deep in his head, the torn ACL, the broken back, the concussion, the rib injury in 2016, the wrist injury when he was in college. Maybe he's taken so many hits that he's seeing ghosts inside the pocket.
Yeah, and that doesn't make him mentally soft. Like, that's...
Well, you could make the case.
You could make the case. But it's like, if I was scared to cross the street just now with nothing happening, you'd be like, okay, that guy's terrified to be anywhere near traffic.
Yeah.
If I crossed the street once and got hit by a bus, and then after that I'm scared to cross the street again, right. You wouldn't call me right. mentally soft. No, you'd be like, this guy got smoked by a bus.
No, you're right.
That's what's going on with Carson, man. He's getting run over week in and week out.
Yes. So he's been hit 43 times, which is not the same stat as sacked. He's been sacked 40 times. So he's taken a lick 83 times. 83! The next highest is Russell Wilson with 76. After that, Joe Burrow, and what happened to him? An awful injury at 65 times. So there have been guys that have been getting hit too, but he is in. He leads the league in hits and sacks. It's not a good marriage, okay? And it comes back to the offensive line. And you know what? Maybe he is seeing ghosts. He could be completely shot, to Lee's point. And that's not good, right? Like, that could be a, man, this kid, we got to move on. And maybe that's what they were saying. I don't know. I'm not disagreeing to that point. But to call him mentally soft, you know, to say that he just doesn't know how to play quarterback anymore. And I'm not using the 2017 thing, but like to say like, oh, wow, this guy doesn't know how to play quarterback. What? No, he probably does. I don't know. It's a conversation that's never going to really end. And I'll be honest, I don't think it gets any better. Because now this week, no more Lane Johnson. And if Driscoll's hurt, you got Matt Pryor, who's been terrible this season, is going to start a right tackle. And as Connor pointed out to me during the break, where did that pick six come from? It was a blitz off the edge on the right side. And that was without Matt Pryor. That was Lane Johnson and Richard Rodgers. You know, it might get worse. But hey, we got 1 hour left. Stan, my man BG Black Gritty, I saw you yesterday tweeting. You guys hang tight. Dustin, Joe, TJ, and my man Oz. Everybody hang tight. 1 hour left. All your calls. Devon Givens coming your way at 2 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas filling in for Anthony. He's got the day off. Hope everyone enjoyed their Thanksgiving yesterday. We got one open line. You can climb in. 610-632-0975. Another bit of news that I didn't get to. The Eagles did activate two players from the COVID reserve 19 list. Vinny Curry and Corey Clement. So I'm glad those guys are healthy. Great. Vinny Curry's actually played an okay role this year. So that's good to have him back. Defensive line was awful last week. It was just terrible. So good to have Vinny Curry back as a rotational piece. Corey Clement, well, we'll see his 2 yards carry. But, you know, thing is, they're healthy. And that's the thing that I care about the most. By the way, Connor, yesterday I went second level thinking. And I need to get your thoughts on it because you, like me, like to have a drink or two or 10.
Once or two.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly, you're right. So, yesterday, I drove to my sister-in-law's house, drove the wife. Strategically, I may say. I like beer, I like whiskey, I like, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you can't drink beer, a lot of beer, on Thanksgiving. Because I am the guy that likes to overeat to the point where, like, I can't breathe.
Okay. See, I'm a light eater.
See, so. Oh my God, Thanksgiving, it's a competition for myself. Like, I try to compete within my own. Like, you can do it, baby. So, I could only drink two beers yesterday because if I had a third, I might have just, you know,
I ate so much. So now I get to cash in the I drove to this holiday on Christmas, where you're not eating much on Christmas.
Nah, you have like small dinner, but.
And you drink a lot on Christmas. It's the holiday season, man. Holiday cheer, little rosy cheeks. So I pulled a good move yesterday, I think.
Yeah, that's smart.
I'm going to cash this one in. You know, I'll have the designated driver Christmas Day.
That's good work out of you.
I know, man. Listen, you can learn a thing or two from me.
Taking notes back here.
I hope you do. Let's go to Stan in Drexel Hill. Stan, what's going on, man? I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
I certainly did, man. Listen, going back to what you guys were talking about, for me, mac and cheese is a must, and it's got to be from scratch.
Okay, yeah, from scratch. No, it can't be it can't be Easy Mac on the ticket. Just imagine.
For me, do you know some people do that? They really do that. And
yeah, it's disrespectful. I would leave the house.
No, I like that. For me, I don't really like any type of casserole. I see it.
You know what? I'll mess around with the green bean casserole. Mm-hmm. They didn't have it yesterday, and I was kind of like, damn. I mean, I love the green bean casserole.
In the words of my man Ant, I'm out. I see it, and I'm like,
all right, so that's the unnecessary food on the dinner table for you Thanksgiving Day. All right, so do you mess around with the candied yams and all that stuff?
I don't really eat it, but it's whatever to me.
Okay,
I just can't. For me, just anything. I don't know what it is about casseroles.
But the casserole for me, it does mix with the gravy, right? So like, boom, perfect. Everything's on the same plate.
That's what I'm saying. You're good with it because you like it. I just don't.
That's true. No, I know. The unnecessary is more of the opinionated thing. The necessary is more of a fact. Like, it's turkey, it's mashed potatoes, it's stuffing, and it's mac and cheese. I'm finding out. Well, other than that, everything else is debatable.
Yeah, that's true. Real quick with the Eagles thing, I got 2 points with that. First of all, I saw an interesting, or I should say I heard an interesting stat. Actually, on the station, I forgot who said it, and I'm mad at myself because I want to give credit to who said it. But they brought up something that I thought was interesting, that Carson Wentz is currently in his fifth season, correct?
Yes.
And that Peyton Manning went through, like, the same type of season?
Yes.
Like, 20-plus interceptions. And
yeah, Manning, it happened to Manning. It was a similar one for Brady.
Yeah, so, you know, I kind of just look at it, and obviously you live in the moment. So yeah, if Carson, for the rest of his career, ends up balling out, this is just going to be one of those things. But I don't know. I'm just not as – especially with everything. There's so many different things. It's not that it's not Carson doing boneheaded things. I'm not saying he's not. But, yeah, getting hit 43 times.
And like, sacked 40.
Like, this is disgusting. Like, getting hit.
Hit. Yeah, like, he's getting hit.
It's ridiculous. And then you want to go to the receivers, and this leads me to my next point. I'm on Twitter, and I'm seeing people, like, happy that the Eagles are no longer in first place. And that, oh, yeah, now you can get, like, the eighth pick and blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking at these people, and I'm talking to everybody who's listening right now who wants the Eagles to draft. Okay, I want y'all all to listen. I don't understand your desire for that when this team has showed, this organization has showed an inability to draft correctly. You want them to get a better draft pick, but what makes you think they're going to draft a guy that you think they should draft? I'm going to ask you right now, Andrew, who do you think is a good draft pick in the top 10 for the Eagles right now?
I mean, Parsons, but they probably won't take him.
That's great because you're not getting him.
Yeah.
You're going to get yourself a nice defensive lineman. Okay, that's what you're going to get, and you're going to like it. And that's my point. Okay, you took J.J. Arcega-Whiteside instead of DK Metcalf.
Yep.
You took Jalen Reagor instead of trading up and getting CeeDee Lamb, which I know you could have done that. Everybody knows you could have done that. All right, even Brandon Graham. Now, Brandon Graham worked out because you won the Super Bowl with him, and he made the game-saving play, right? But before that, he was looking average, and he was looking like, in comparison to Earl Thomas, a bust.
Yeah.
So what makes you think? I would rather just make the playoffs and just say at least, hey, my team is making the playoffs. Hey, it is what it is. I don't want a draft pick because this organization hasn't shown me anything that makes me believe they're going to draft the right guy.
Let me ask you something, Stan, and I know it's tough to think.
They're going to draft a kicker. They're going to draft him number one, okay? They're going to draft the kicker, and they're going to tell you like what they got and his value. That's what they're going to tell you. That's why I was going to sell you.
No, they want to make a kicker factory.
You got to be kidding me.
It's just like the quarterback factor. They just want
to. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So let me ask you, if you were to know going into the draft that they had a totally new, different personnel department, let's say Howie's not here anymore.
Then fine.
Okay.
Fine. That's it. I'm talking about as this regime right now.
Yeah.
The people who are calling the shots right now, I don't want. And it's the same thing with the Sixers, right? With the Sixers, now that you had the new brass and everybody they drafted. I haven't heard one person. I think I might have been the most negative person talking about the NBA, the draft, because I was looking at Maxey and I didn't really know too much about him. And all I heard about was, you know, well, one of the negatives was 29% from three. But then I did some more research and I was like, well, he actually shot closer to like 40% in like a certain venue or something like that. So I was like, okay, all right, cool. But everybody else has been pretty much okay with everything that the Sixers did draft-wise, right? The Eagles is the total opposite.
Yeah, Eagles, so like you said, Eagles
been Jefferson is balling. And it's not that I don't think Jalen – and that's the problem I have with Howie, because I think what he does – and this is my last thing. I think what he does is I think he looks at certain guys. CeeDee Lamb, right? We think that he can be an all-pro, game-changing type of wide receiver, right? That's the type of guy that you're going to have to pay when it comes down to it, right? So if you're Dallas, you got CeeDee Lamb. Now Michael Gallup can walk, and you're good with Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to have to pay him eventually.
And the Eagles just don't do that, Stan. And I appreciate the call, man. The Eagles, they don't have that guy, which is why I hear the they shouldn't have paid Carson, because once you pay a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Well, if your organization is also inept when it comes to drafting, then maybe you're right. Maybe you should just pay Nick Foles little money, because then you can just keep on bringing in free agents, bringing in free agents, bringing in free agents. The point is, when you pay Carson Wentz $130 million, yeah, does he have to play up to his contract? Of course he does. You got to help the guy out. Can't draft Arthego Whiteside.
Yeah, I got to disagree with my man Stan a little bit there, though. Like, so the thing is, if you think they're going to mess up a top 10 pick, then you think they're going to mess up when they if they draft in the 20s.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, they could win four more games and win this division, because that would be stupid to want them to tank. We don't have to want them to tank, because they're going to tank anyway on their own.
Yeah, they stink.
They
suck.
So they're not taking away, like, possible wins from us that we can enjoy. They're going to lose all these games anyway. Don't win the division. So if you miss a top 10 pick, even if you miss, they should still, unless you miss huge, the difference is like Pro Bowl guy to every, just a starter or rotation type guy.
Or you could be a good drafting team. I mean, I don't know. You're right. It's this organization. Like, the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, or were in the Super Bowl every year, and they were picking 32nd every year.
Well, yeah, if you ask me, would I rather have Belichick draft at 32 or Howie at 10, I'd rather have Belichick draft at 199.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
But still, you got to want the highest pick possible, so you have less of a chance of missing, in my mind.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, I'm at the point where if they, it's Andy McPhail. They do, they don't, they don't. I would love to see an extra game, because that also means they got hot, and I say that in quotations, right? Got hot as in they won five. Not five games in a row. They won five games. That's getting hot, winning two more. But no, you're right. I mean, it's if they don't make the playoffs, hey, better draft pick, and it's a huge signal. Huge signal. Adam Schefter said it with the morning show on Wednesday, day before Thanksgiving. If they don't win the division, somebody's going to get fired. But that can't just be Jim Schwartz. Like, that has to be a lot of changes. A ton. Let's go to the man. Black Gritty's in these streets. What's up, BJ?
Got the young Thundercat on the sticks today. Play, I like that.
What's going on, man?
Man, I'm just, you know what I mean, recuperating. About to go have my fourth Thanksgiving meal, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. I got the cold turkey sandwich waiting for me.
Straight up. My macaroni and cheese is world renowned. You know, I'm out here killing everybody with that, so that's my number one go-to. If I don't bring it, I ain't invited. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. It makes sense.
So the thing I always like bringing up to people when I talk in conversations is, like, look at Watson, right? So you saw him yesterday on Thanksgiving, like, oh, I wish Carson would be like that. I'm like, well, did you watch the first six games of the season when his trash panda coach traded away the greatest wide receiver of our generation for a bag of nuts?
Yeah.
How bad he looked. And then they fired that coach. The team got some morale behind them. And then they start magically playing better with a new offense mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's his offensive guy, but a new coach in there. So, again, Deshaun Watson was a trash heap, horrible, couldn't do nothing, whatever.
Can I also mention this, BJ? Carson and Deshaun Watson, they've had similar numbers the last couple of years, and that was with DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not saying Deshaun Watson is overrated, because he's fun to watch, and I think he is a hell of a quarterback, but he's had DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, again, and that's my point of saying, like, when people want to run somebody out of it because he had a crutch and blah, 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 he could do anything. But the last, like, six games, he's got 17 touchdowns, no interceptions, because something changed that helped him out.
Yep,
you know, and now he doesn't have the Hopkins crutch.
That's a great
he's doing
point.
Without Hopkins. So that's my point about that. And when people wanted to run Dak out last year, Dak was so, couldn't do nothing.
Well, you give him a number one wide receiver, and the lineman gets healthy, and next thing you know, this dude wants Patrick Mahomes money. I'm like, wait,
yeah, exactly.
What? He was 1-4. But you make that trade, and you give him a real weapon. Like, if we ever gave Carson Wentz the help he needed, we were healthy, he would get back to where he's doing if we had a better play caller.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why. I don't know how long you've been listening, but I went through the depth chart at wide receiver the last couple of years. Nelson Agholor and Jordan Matthews. Torrey Smith and Nelson Agholor and Alshon Jeffrey. Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Agholor. Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Agholor. And I will throw in the wide receiver threes of Josh Huff, of Paul Turner, of Dorial Green-Beckham. You name it, Greg Ward, who, hey, he's a nice little player, but who is he? Travis Fulgham. I mean, these are the guys we're talking about.
And at this point, I did hear all that. And at this point, I'm thinking to myself, is it Groundhog's Day? Because I got a photographic memory. And I remember when McNubian was throwing to Stinkston and Trash. And all I did every night was pray for a wide receiver.
Yep.
We get a wide receiver and we instantly go to the Super Bowl. Like, how did we all know that Stinkston and Trash were not it? And it took you 4 years to get him a receiver. And thank the Lord, Andy Reid has finally realized that problem of not just being able to stick it out there. But we're back in the same boat. We need wide out weapons. I know they're divas.
But here's the problem, man. Here's the problem. They won without it. And now they think because they won without it, why do we need it now? We already won.
The Ravens won a Super Bowl with no quarterback.
And
they had the defense. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the sun shined on them one time, okay? So go ahead and stick in this rut. Man, it's Groundhog's Day. I'm so upset. They just made me even feel worse about it. All right.
Before you go, so the mac and cheese, your mac and cheese, the most necessary thing other than the turkey. What's the most unnecessary thing on the Thanksgiving
Day? I'm still out on that green bean casserole. But just to put this out there, if you search Black Thanksgiving, a white girlfriend brought a smashed ham with cream cheese to a Thanksgiving dinner, and I think that might take the cake for life. I don't even want to see that. I saw a picture of it. I was so upset. But
is
that?
Here's the thing. I don't know a white woman who does that. And I'm a white man. I've never been to a Thanksgiving where I've seen that.
They even wrote the thing. They're like, not to say anything, but I just wanted to make it clear that there was a white woman that did this. Go ahead and go down the whole Black Thanksgiving and enjoy yourself.
That's awesome.
Hear you on the sticks, Tunis.
Thanks, brother. Great talking to you. Thanks, Black Gritty. Yeah, see, here's the thing. I get that, you know. There's a website for it. My white mother never made that. That sounds disgusting.
No, yeah, that's a standalone issue right there.
Yeah, who like that person is their own person, and I don't want to meet that person.
We do not claim them.
No. You're right. No, I mean, come on now. Smashed ham with cream cheese.
What's the thought process behind putting something like that together?
Like, is that you? Like, here's what probably happened. All right. That girl probably went on Pinterest and searched like Black Thanksgiving meals, right? And then she's like, oh, this looks good. And it's probably not even close to what she thought it was. So she makes ham and cream cheese. Like, hold on, Connor. Ham.
Oh, do this to yourself.
And cream cheese. Thanksgiving.
That's a rabbit hole you don't want to go down.
Appetizer. Okay. Cream cheese and ham spread. It's three ingredients. It's literally in a bowl. This is disgusting. Cut up ham, some scallions, and cream cheese.
Ugh, and you put that sounds awful.
And you put it on a chip. I'm out.
Oh, yeah. I wish you hadn't read that. I don't want anything to do with it.
Is this like a, like, you know how like some things are from an area? You know how you feel like you have southern traditions, and is this like a local tradition, or did somebody say, you want me to do something funny? I have this well-known cooking website that people follow. I'm just going to mess with people here and make this. Like, what is it? There's a lot of recipes for it. Cream cheese and ham spread.
I don't know what to tell you. That sounds awful. If that's like local to somewhere, I'm never going there.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
I'm not even vacationing at that spot. You're spot on. I'm not going there. Let's go to Joe in King of Prussia. Joe, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, man?
Hi. So going off your key point, it's with this whole ham spread thing. Yeah. I don't think that's very
appealing at all. That doesn't even sound good whatsoever.
No, I'm out. I'm out on the ham and cream cheese spread.
Yeah. My big point that I've been seeing a lot recently, even a little bit last year with the Eagles and Carson Wentz, I don't think he has enough help at the wide receiver core getting separation. I don't think that Doug Peterson is actually creating plays for these wide receivers' strengths. Quez Watkins runs like a 4.3, 4.4, 40. And, yeah, you have him streaming down the sideline, but J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he's, what, 6.3, 6.4?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not really physical, but the only thing I can see him doing is 50-50 ball like a fade.
Well, he's a position receiver, possession receiver, right? And,
yeah.
And unfortunately, they drafted him to be that, but then they extended Alshon Jeffery.
Absolutely.
Which so you is, go, what is, like, what are you guys doing here? It's like when you drafted Dallas Goedert. Like, if you draft...
Millions?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he got $9 million this year. But, like, yeah. I like Zach Ertz, don't get me wrong. But if you're drafting Dallas Goedert in 2018, you should have had it in your plans to move on from Ertz sooner than that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the big thing that I heard last show was about how... Howie Roseman does the big deals for big name players, and like right before the end of the trade deadline. You know who one person that was on ESPN a lot that they said the Eagles could see picking up is Will Fuller. And Will Fuller would have been one of those, maybe, I'm not saying it would be, but maybe one of those key wide receiver, decent name wide receivers you're not paying that much money for, but that could give you an upper hand. We don't have any of that.
Joe, here's what I'm going to tell you. There are two myths when it comes to Howie Roseman. Two myths. That he handles the cap space well, and that he makes big moves.
Yep.
Those are two myths.
Yep.
Thanks for the call, Joe. I appreciate it. Those are two myths. Connor, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't it a myth that Howie is a cap genius? He may be able to push money to the next year, but what does it do the next year? Puts it more and more in cap hell.
Here's what I will say.
All right, what do you
got? Okay. So he's had bad contracts. The Alshon Jeffery contract.
Yes.
The Sean Jackson contract, everything.
And Nelson got $9 million guaranteed last year.
Yeah. But just to play devil's advocate.
Okay, go ahead.
For the one Howie person who's listening out of the million of people in Philadelphia.
Go ahead.
You can't expect the pandemic to happen. You can't expect that for the first time in forever, there's going to be a rollback on salary cap. You're going to lose.
Oh, no.
It was supposed to be like 220 million.
They were coming into this season in cap hell. Last year, they were in cap hell.
I get that.
There was no pandemic last year.
Right. And I'm just playing devil's advocate. The reason why they're in so much trouble, especially with like potentially moving on from Carson and everything you're doing with these contracts, is because they lost like $40 million in cap on what they would have had.
Okay.
It doesn't mean their situation was great before.
Yeah.
It's just
exactly
unforeseen circumstance put him into.
Howie is a genius. I'm told he's a genius. I'm told. How many times do you hear around the trade deadline? You got the Schefters of the world. You got the guns. Yeah, they all say the same thing. Oh well, if this guy's available, you know Howie's calling. So Howie, DeAndre Hopkins was available, right? Hey, I'll give you a third round pick. No, okay. Thanks for taking my call. So, yeah, maybe Howie called, but what's the big move? What? Tell me, what was the big Howie move? Golden Tate?
Yeah, it's a good one. He caught two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Hold on.
You brought in a guy that your coaching staff didn't want to implement into the offense until week 17 when he caught a game-winning touchdown, right? Remember Foles found him in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, on like what?
His fourth down.
Yeah.
Took him six games to finally... get placed in the offense.
It was like a 3 yard out.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was a crazy play that they drew up for him.
All right, that was the big trade. What are the other big moves? Oh, he signed Javon Hargrave, who was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what's going on there? Malik Jackson, what's going on there? Free agents, okay, he signed Darius Slay. But the whole. Oh, my God, how he makes these crazy trades. Who was the trade? Paul Warlow for Torrey Smith?
Well, he did trade for Darius Slay.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. You're right. It was a trade, and then he's got to sign.
But on the other side of the scale, he re-signed DeSean Jackson. Well, brought him back here.
Okay.
On a bad contract.
Trying to think of the other big Howie trades that he's made. It's a myth. That's a myth. Contract wizard, cap wizard, myth. The only thing that's not a myth, it's pretty bad at drafting. Got a couple open lines, 610-632-0975. I got one segment left. It is a Football Friday. Football Fridays on the Fanatic are driven by AAA. Wherever the open road takes you, take AAA. We'll get some final thoughts on the Thanksgiving. I have one more Thanksgiving thing that I want to open up. I know it's the final segment coming up, but I'll open that up as well. And we'll take your call some more, 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you until 2 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.130, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas. It's been a lot of fun today hanging out with you guys, hanging out with Connor Thomas. You guys get to continue to hang out here on The Fanatic. Devon Givens and Tyler Zuli. Tyler will be behind the glass taking you 2 until 6. They'll also be on NBC Sports Philadelphia, so you get to watch it on TV as well. So you guys make sure you stick around and enjoy them as well. I can see my parents. I'm excited. I haven't seen my parents in about 2 months now. So looking forward to that. Not doing a second Thanksgiving.
Really?
That's another thing. That's the other one I wanted to bring up. So I've been doing these Thanksgiving side topics today. The second Thanksgiving, I don't think I could handle it because I go all out. I eat so much. Like, I have not eaten yet today. Like, legit, I've not taken, I had a piece of my cheesecake, like, real small. Because I'm still full from yesterday. Now, you said you're not a big eater.
No, I'm not.
On Thanksgiving.
I'm okay. Like 2 plates, and then I'm good.
Yeah, I'm 2 plates, but I'm two, like, it's mountains. Right, I got mountains on my plates of food. I don't think I could control myself to not eat much for one Thanksgiving, and then eat more or similar the second Thanksgiving. I know a lot of two Thanksgiving people. The in-laws I was at yesterday, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, they're hosting, so it was my wife's side of the family yesterday. It'll be my brother-in-law's side of the family, I think, on Saturday they're doing. So they're doing two Thanksgivings, and they're doing two, like, legit Thanksgivings. Full turkey, full plates of, like, what I saw yesterday will happen again Saturday. I give them all the credit in the world. I applaud them because that's a lot of food that you have to prepare now twice. But I don't think I could see myself eating it. Have you done two Thanksgivings?
I have, yeah.
Have you done them on the same day?
No, never the same day. It's always like Thursday and then like the weekend or...
I was, my wife's uncle was there yesterday. He said he's eaten the drumstick at two different houses on Thanksgiving. That's a lot of turkey.
Whole lot of, too much turkey.
And I'm sure he had the sides and everything. So I can't do two Thanksgivings. Like I couldn't wait a day and then Saturday do another Thanksgiving. So today we're not doing another Thanksgiving. Like today I think we're doing Chinese food or something like that.
Okay.
Like, I can't. My God, could you imagine eating all that?
Yeah, I could do that again. See, what gets me, I almost ran into trouble yesterday. I always have this problem every year because I always forget. So Thanksgiving Eve is where I run into issues because I go out. It's a big bar night. Yeah. Obviously, I couldn't this year.
No, not this year.
I was sitting at home having a couple beverages.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, it's 3 a.m. and you're however many deep. And you're like, oh, man, I got to wake up and perform with the stomach tomorrow. I got to eat. Big yes. Eating day.
Yeah.
And then you get up and you think you can power through the hangover because Thanksgiving is a great day. You got football. You got food. So you got everything you need. But that's what gets me. That's where I have trouble. Is powering through after
well,
that. But I can eat back-to-back days, no
Thanksgiving's
problem.
The perfect hair of the dog day.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That's when you just go, hey, listen, I gotta get right back to it. You know, I don't know. I didn't, you know, I drank a little bit Wednesday night, but again, you couldn't go out anywhere. You know?
Plus, yeah.
Like, were you back at your hometown Wednesday?
I was, but I was just at home. Didn't see any friends.
You didn't see anybody? Okay, because I don't live at the hometown. My parents don't live there anymore, so it's not like I'm going back Wednesday And even if it was not the bar, it was at somebody's house. No. So I just drank with my wife. And it was like, oh, this is fun. She went to bed at like 10.
Yeah.
Oh, like, there you go. What the hell do I do now?
Couple more. Crack one.
Yeah, I played Xbox. I was like, what am I going to do? Happy day before Thanksgiving. I don't know.
But yeah, the more food, I could do the more food. Two days in a row?
I don't think I could do 2 days in a row of Thanksgiving. I'm going to do my turkey sandwich when I get home. That's a sandwich. I'm not going full plate. You know what I mean? I can't do it. Let's go to Chris in North Wales. Chris, you're on the Fanatic.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Chris.
I think we can all agree that Carson Wentz is playing terrible. Doug Peterson is coaching terrible. But you have to do a root cause analysis to figure out what is wrong with this football team. And if you look at three individuals, Carson, Doug Peterson, and Howie, the question I always ask is, if you cut Carson Wentz today, does he get another job in the NFL?
Yes.
Yes. If you fire Doug Peterson today, does he get another job in the NFL? Probably. We could debate whether he should.
Yeah.
But he would probably get another shot at the
NFL.
Yeah,
he's in the frat. He's in the coach's frat.
If you fire Harry Roseman, does he get another job in the NFL that relates to anything to do with picking or evaluating talent?
No. He'll be in a front office somewhere, but you're right. You're right.
He does not get the problem by miles in this organization is Harry Roseman.
Yeah, it starts upstairs. That's what I think.
And if you don't get rid of Harry Roseman, we will be having the same conversation in 3 years. It's nothing is going to change because there's no talent on the field. They're in cap hell. And to blame COVID, I know you're playing devil's advocate, on the Eagles' cap hell, well, there's a bunch of other NFL teams that are in the same situation.
Right?
So there's no devil's advocate.
And what those teams are dealing with is good draft picks who aren't costing them a lot of money, and they're hitting on players in the draft like the Seahawks and DK Metcalf, yada, yada, yada.
So, The other easy way to explain it is if you put me with no experience in radio in charge of your organization, in charge of this radio station, it would be a disaster.
I think you do a hell of a job. Right? I think you would do a hell of a job, Chris.
I don't. I might get a couple decisions right, but in the end, it's not going to go well. And that's what we've done with Howie. That's what the Eagles have done with Harry Rosen. They put, he's an accountant. He didn't grow up in football. He didn't play in football, which isn't a prerequisite to being a good GM. But he has zero football experience before he came to the Eagles. None. Zero. And it's the equivalent of putting me in charge of your radio station. It's not going
to
work.
Now, let me ask you something, Chris, because this is a question I like to ask people, because I'm with you. Like, I was a big Howie guy, but I'm, I think it's time to move on. But I have to ask you this. If you're Jeffrey Lurie, is it let me just cut bait and do it? Or do you think he hangs on to him for a year or two more? Because he did bring the first Super Bowl, which you and I may look at it the same way, who gives a damn, it's what have you done for me lately. Right. But if you're Jeffrey Lurie, you go, hey, this team, we hadn't seen a championship since 1960, and Howie Roseman hit all the right buttons going into the 2017 season. Why can't he do that again? So I should hold on to him.
Because he can't. He's shown he can't. What have they done since? Nothing.
Yeah.
They're not a good football team. The midterm prognosis is they're not going to be a good football team. It has to change. Now, I don't think Jeffrey Lurie's going to fire him. My guess is Jeffrey Lurie thinks the same way I do. This guy's never going to get another job in the NFL. I'm friends with him. I'm keeping him.
That might be what happens, Chris. We'll find out. I appreciate the call, man. I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving. You know, I don't know. Part of me has those concerns. And teams do that. That's not an Eagles thing. Look at the Phillies. They hung on to players after they won the World Series for a long time. Not just that run, but like after the run was done. I mean, Howard finished his career here. I know he was he was with the Braves. He was with the Rockies, but never made it to the big leagues. But he finished his major league career with the Phillies. And that was after, all kinds of issues. Chase Utley was here until 2014. That's 3 years removed from their last playoff berth. Rollins, same thing. Ruiz, even longer. And it happens with guys in the front office. Teams hang on to guys for winning something. Hell, Marvin Lewis won 10 games in Cincinnati. Coached for 20 years. You know, it happens. Like Dan Quinn should not be the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. He shouldn't. But he'd been there for a bit. They got to the Super Bowl. lost in an embarrassing way. He's still there. You know, that just happens. And teams do that. And Daryl Morey, who was on with Anthony on Monday of this week, he opened up with, man, you guys are killing Howie Roseman. It hasn't even been 5 years since they won the Super Bowl. This is Daryl Morey, a man who is in charge of making some pretty big decisions. He says, don't you get 5 years after a Super Bowl? Daryl Morey said that. Connor, Daryl Morey.
I would say no.
You don't get 5 years? And not here.
He also brought up, Daryl Morey's like a sports guy, right? He said he's a big Cleveland Browns fan, or was. I don't know what he, you know, now that he's in business, I don't know what, you know, what sports. But he straight up said, like, you know, I know the pain that the Eagles have gone through. And it's been a long time. And they never won. They win, you'd think they get 5 years. Now, I was ready to move on from people after year one. Players, I was ready to trade Nick Foles. I was ready to do all that kind of stuff because I thought it was necessary. Because that's what the Patriots do. And what do the Patriots do? They win. They also had Tom Brady. But they kept on making changes. A guy could have won Super Bowl MVP, but if Belichick thought he was cooked, you would move on from him. Like, this is what happened. The Eagles hanging on to everyone. But it's only been 3 years since they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you look at the NBA, and it's the same teams there every year. It's like a LeBron team and whoever's the best in the other conference. But so maybe 5 years there, because you always have the same teams and the same guys stick around. NFL, no.
There's changeover all the time.
You got to stay active if you want to continue to compete.
Right. Well,
in 5 years, they're lucky to have gotten to this point with the way that some of the parts of this organization have run.
Yeah, but you can make the case, and I'm not making this case, okay? I'm not. Trust me. I literally got ripped on the radio for 4 hours on a weekend when I wanted to trade Nick Foles the week after they won the Super Bowl. I was hated. I was public enemy number one. There was a report that he could have gotten a second-round pick for him. Get him out of here. Please. Carson's your guy. I got ripped for it. But I thought it was the best decision. The Eagles have won or have reached the playoffs the last 3 years. Can make that case. Yes, is this year terrible, 3-6-1? Yes, has it gone downhill ever since the Super Bowl? Yeah, all that is true. But they won the Super Bowl. We're an Alshon drop away from NFC Championship game. And who knows, if Carson doesn't get concussed in the first quarter of last year, what we don't know what could have happened. It's not like the Seahawks played really well in that game. So you can make the case, maybe this was the outlier year where everything went wrong, but the previous 3 years, they made the playoffs, and it all started in 2016 with the new head coach and the rookie quarterback in Carson Wentz. I'm just saying, if you're Jeffrey Lurie, who doesn't live and die like we do when it comes to the Eagles, he lives and dies with the Eagles, but from a totally different perspective, he may go, well, I'm looking at my business here, and we've won the Super Bowl, and we've made the playoffs 3 straight years. This year, whether they make the playoffs or not, maybe it's just an outlier year. Could Jeffrey Lurie look at it that way?
He could, but the thing is, with good organizations anywhere, not just in sports, just in general,
you're right.
People who are in charge of good organizations recognize problems.
Quarterly numbers are going down.
They recognize problems before there's a problem. You can't be sitting there and all of a sudden have an entire organization in shambles.
Yeah.
You have to make some type of change because we've seen the slope down. We've seen the 2008, 2009,
You're
2010,
right.
2011 Phillies happen again before our eyes.
Yeah.
We can't let that happen again.
That's a good point. Now, I got to ask you, Connor, as we said earlier, you and I are men who like to have a few beers here and there nightly. You and I are men who like to put down a bet or two daily. Today, I think I'm clean today. Did you bet the San Francisco Dons?
I did not. I only have 68 cents left in my account after yesterday. It was not a great Thanksgiving at the sports book for me.
I'm not even going to bring up who you bet on and why, because we had this conversation last week. If people were listening to the show last Saturday, I'm not going to bring it up, but people will know who Connor bet on, because Connor, last week, bet on a team because of the mascot. You know, the dog. I'm not going to say it, but if you listened to the show last week, and what did I tell you?
You told me.
The karma train was coming around, and Washington won. Oh, sorry. Did I say it?
Yeah.
The San Francisco Dons were plus 875 today, facing number 4 Virginia.
Outright winner.
They run 61-60. That's amazing.
I mean, who could ever predict, though, that Virginia basketball would have a huge upset against them?
Yeah, that's true. History, baby. History.
That's a good pick by whoever has that.
Let's go to Jay in Roxborough. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hello. What's up, Jay? How are you?
Yeah, good. Good. Listen, you know, every time I hear a Kyle Howie conversation, my blood starts to boil, okay? Because my question to everybody, nobody's been able to answer this. Over the last 5 years, just give me 3 GMs that have been better than Howie. Nobody ever answers it, but they still criticize Howie. And
well, yeah,
and So it's like when I hear that, like, you know, Howie is Howie. That, I'm like, do you understand? If you go through all the GMs in this league and all the hits and misses, round 1 through round 7, you know, you are going to be hard pressed to find a GM that's done it better than Howie. You might find 2, but has it led to a Super Bowl win over the last 5 years? Those GMs.
Hold on a second. So I'm just trying to keep up here. So you're saying Howie has drafted better than other GMs around football?
My question that I pose to everybody is just tell me 3. I know we want to beat up Howie in the city. Tell me 3 that are better than Howie over the last 5 years.
Well, and I mean, here's the thing, Jay. Here's a good debate that maybe one day I'll have the show. And it's got to be more removed because it's still very close to the Super Bowl. First off, the Super Bowl win, a lot of the contributors were not draft picks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They were not draft picks. They were the veterans that they brought in on one-year deals. Derek Barnett picked up the fumble. He was a first-round pick. But other than that, it was veterans and it was Nick Foles who won the Super Bowl. And everything went perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
When you want a good GM, do you want a GM that can win you a Super Bowl and then everything falls off the table? Or do you want a GM, and I know the Super Bowl is the greatest prize. I'm not taking anything away from Howie. Or do you want a Super Bowl or a GM that's going to keep you literally in the running every single year? Like, you have a team that's winning 10, 11 games every single season, but they may just be missing that one extra piece that gets them over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want my team contending every single year.
Right. But if you want your team competing every year, then you would have somebody like the Baltimore Ravens, you know, who, you know, they haven't won in a while, but they did win before.
Yeah.
Green Bay only had 1 Super Bowl win with Aaron Rodgers. The Saints only had 1 Super Bowl win with Breeze. You know, can we call their GMs geniuses and these great guys? Because they've done absolutely nothing over the last 10 years.
What about Belichick? You
know, there's your one. Give me another one.
Well, what about Andy? I mean, it's more of a combination, but Andy Reid and Brett Veach in Kansas City.
Here's your 2.
Okay.
Those are the only 2 I have in mind. You know, but when it comes to that 3rd, that's why I tell everybody, give me 3. Because, see, when you get to 3, you get confused. You start.
Okay, but you're saying over the last 5 years, are you talking about this season too? Because I like the direction that the Bills are taking. I like the direction that I know it's very early on, 1 year in Matt Rule, but I'm seeing a team, a plan being devised where it looks like things are going well for them.
Yeah. Okay. And the Bills, this is. And
what about Tampa? If Tom Brady doesn't look cooked, what about Tampa?
Okay.
What about Seattle over the last 5 years?
And exactly. None of those teams have won anything in the last 5 years.
Connor gets in my ear. Kevin Colbert in Pittsburgh. I mean, they're always contending.
Yeah, contending. But in Philadelphia, you're back.
Yeah,
question,
but Jay.
Super
Bowl was not. I'm sorry, I got to let you go. We're almost done the show. All right. The Super Bowl, it wasn't like the rookies didn't contribute. They didn't, except for Barnett picking up a fumble. Right? Wentz got you there. But let's think about just Super Bowl 52. That's it. All right, Nick Foles. Okay, Howie didn't draft him. You know, and he also left and eventually came back. LeGarrette Blount was not a draft pick. He had a nice little impact in that game. Corey Clement was an undrafted free agent. Nelson Aguilar was a draft pick by Chip Kelly. Brandon Graham, draft pick by, I guess it was Andy Reid still at the time. Not Howie. You know, look at the guys that contributed in the Super Bowl or that entire year. Who was the rookie standout in 2017?
The closest you have is Corey Clement. And he shared a crowded running back room and doesn't do anything anymore.
And he was undrafted. So what I'm saying is, Howie deserves so much credit for the Super Bowl. He really does. But don't tell me it was because of the drafting. My man, I appreciate the call. I love you. My man's saying that Howie's been one of the best GMs in drafting in the last 3 years. Hey, that's not true. Because in the last 3 years, let's see, 2017, they're all gone. Right? Except Derek Barnett. Sidney Jones is gone. Rasul Douglas is gone. All those guys are gone. This just, you know, this past year, do we have to really go over it? I like Jalen Reagor. Hurts is a backup quarterback. Davion Taylor doesn't get on the field. I'm talking about just the first three rounds. Because rounds 4 through 7, that's the director of, you know, college scouting, those picks. Like, Howie Roseman may sign off on John Hightower, but Howie Roseman wasn't paying attention to John Hightower during the season. So, first three rounds, you go Reagor, who's not Justin Jefferson, Hurts, who's a backup, Davion Taylor. Previous year, I like Miles Sanders. I don't like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside at all. 2018, Dallas Goedert, he's still a backup tight end. Can't tell me he's not the second string tight end on this team. He is. Clayton Thorson was in that draft at some point. Quarterback factory. What was the dude from Penn State that didn't dress? The defensive end. He stunk. I mean, there's a lot of misses. They didn't have a first-round pick in 18, but there's a lot of misses with Howie in the draft. You can say Howie did a good job pick-wise, or, you know, free agent-wise, but whatever. All right, that'll do it. Devon Givens, Tyler Zuli, Connor, great job today. They're coming your way next, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.